The following podcast contains adult subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
Whenever I'm ready, well, I'm ready right now for that deep dickin' in my ear holes. It's Thinking Outside the Long Box with one Gabe, not John, Tim, and Doyle.
Can I redo that one?
Yeah. No, keep it.
I guess we're keeping it.
Keeping it.
That way, I bet you can.
Nah.
Hey, everybody! Welcome to episode 105 of Thinking Outside the 107 of Thinking Outside the Long Box. I need to update my notes.
105 just came out.
We need to update your meds, bud.
Right. Anyway, welcome to episode 107 of Thinking Outside the Long Box. I'm Gabe.
I'm Tim.
I'm Doyle.
I'm Juan.
We're gonna talk about bullshit.
Bullshit.
Woo!
No, how you guys doing?
Pretty good.
Been a week and a half since we saw each other, except for Tim.
Yeah,
it's been. I can't wait until you see hear the next episode.
I saw Gabe on Thursday.
It's gonna be amazing.
That's true. I did see you on Thursday.
I just assume whenever I'm not around.
We can't talk about why though, because Juan gets all butthurt about.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah, fucker.
I just assume when I'm not around, I'm just being dumped on the whole time. So
that is correct.
Right, well, yeah, it's coming.
Yeah, you said something, and I wasn't sure what you were pointing at. So when you called us dicks.
Huh? Oh, I just said dicks. I was just saying it. I wasn't calling anybody.
I was like, he must have listened to the episode. I wonder what we said.
Wait, this last episode that just came out?
Yeah.
That was the, I was on this one.
105, were you? I don't remember.
Yeah, I won't be on 106.
This last episode completely defies my memory, though. Like, in my memory, AC was with us during the entire podcast, and he was not there at all. Like, I just,
right. I had that same feeling, too, because then we started talking about how Juan and I were, like, holding a mic and holding a phone together while we were YouTube live streaming. Man, we have got to get our shit together.
No way, that was amazing. I loved it.
What's awesome is that you feel like AC was there forever because of the amount of knowledge that he dumps in like 10 minutes is unreal. Like Ashton, okay, so quick update. So my son Ashton has like actively started listening to the podcast.
Fuck.
So he comes up to me and asks me things about the show. I'm like, I have no idea what to tell you about. Like, I'm just there. That's all I do.
What episode? What?
Yeah, when was that? I don't know. That was like a month ago.
Remember that time you were talking shit about me?
Yeah, which one?
When? Not still not helping.
So two things that are amazing. Apparently we referenced the comedian almost every single episode.
And right.
Oh, like, the shitty comedian?
Him. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Unfortunately.
For a while there, we definitely were.
And then the other thing is...
For which we had a major discussion with last night. We'll get to that later.
Yeah. The other thing is he is so impressed with AC's ability to, from a dead sleep, explain something in full detail within 5 minutes.
I just woke up for lunch.
Guys, let me drive home some really important facts about Dark City.
Like, I was wrapping up that episode on my drive home with hashtag my Alicia in the car. And she started dying when I was like, I feel like my phone's about to start growing gray hair. She lost her shit. She's dying.
Oh, man.
See, my favorite part is when I claimed, you got to talk about the farts, oxygenation, and then I said there was methane, which is not true. They're not mostly methane, but all of you bought into that. So we're all stupid. All of us.
Fucking whatever.
I was going to name it oxygen defecation, but I didn't know if iTunes would like that or not.
We're rated explicit. We can...
Yeah, but they're getting kind of weird about their shit.
Also,
so.
But that's one solid word. I don't even think the algorithm would pick it up.
And defecation, that's not like
I
not
believe
like a vulgar
you.
Word.
It's a medical
term.
You.
It's a medical term. What if we had converted to a science podcast and we were just talking about
just in the middle
just defecation?
Welcome to Thinking Outside the Science Podcast.
Today we're going to learn about oxygen defecation.
For several weeks we talked about buttholes going inside out, so that's
no. It's not.
Bad.
It's not the content of the show. It's the title in the on the. They've been acting really weird about titles lately. one about any kind of vulgarity, and I guess people are stuffing titles with keywords and they don't like that either, and so they've been taking down fucking without any kind of warning.
Yeah, makes sense.
Without any kind of warning, you're just down, and then you've got to wait to try and however long it takes to explain or change or
whatever.
But I
mean, it's so they don't put in titles like greatest pop culture podcast of all pop culture, pop culture time. So
Star Wars.
Star Wars XXX Pornhub.
Welcome to the name of this podcast.
Welcome to the Fuck Your Cunt podcast.
Every episode, .. Star Wars.
Well, they don't want it to get clickbaity like YouTube's become.
Yeah.
Because you can't find anything you want to see on YouTube anymore because it's all full of clickbait shit.
Oh, I search for pretty specific things.
Me
so.
Too. Like, I usually am searching for, like, song title and musician on YouTube.
Well,
so.
Yeah, I mean, that's still pretty easy to find. But, like, I was trying to find a video on putting some shit together on my computer when I was building it.
Did you just put that in? Video on putting shit together on my computer.
Yeah,
putting shit together on my computer.
My literal Google search. My literal Google search. No, and like this. It would be a lot of like unboxing or like people like, here's my computer. Look at it. Isn't it pretty?
There are a fuck ton of people who make a living just opening shit on YouTube.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's we did that from ego.
we wish don't make a living doing it.
Well, we wish we could. But at the same time, it's not all we do either.
We gotta get on that train.
Shout out to you, Migo.
To be fair, all of those guys buy shit first and then unbox it. And then once they start getting people looking, then they start getting everything for free.
The other one that's crazy to me, though it's not that crazy because I've started watching multiple channels of them, is just really loud black people watching funny videos and reacting to them.
No, bitch. I would take coffee.
Coffee as well.
Okay, so
please. Also in ruins.
Please, thank you.
So you guys were talking about like your crazy Google searches, right?
Yeah. Oh God, we don't want to hear your Google searches.
No, we're not going to talk about my
porn,
Google searches.
Porn, so, midgets.
So the New York Public Library used to have a service where you could call and ask a librarian a question. Okay, because there was no Google at
we
the
did
time.
This is in kindergarten or something.
This is like in the 50s and 60s, right?
They still had it up for a long time.
You were in kindergarten in the 50s and 60s?
No, they had a service
Yo,
like this.
Bitch.
This is before the internet.
Oh, all right, I got you.
To be fair. This when I was a kid.
So the New York Public Library kept a record of all the questions, like on these little note cards, right? And this website published a bunch of them, and there were some really good ones. Mel and I were reading them.
You can't read.
I know. But so here's one from
dead ass silence.
I know. Here's one from May in 1947. What does it mean when you dream you're being chased by an elephant? Like,
and the librarian just came up with an answer.
Just came up with an answer, right? When did Moses first come into the public light? Or what was the one? Is it okay to go to Reno single to get a divorce? Like, it's all sorts of like weird questions like that. And as Mel and I was reading them to Mel. We were just laughing about it. And I go, you know for a fact that somebody has Googled all of these goddamn questions. Like, Hannah has asked you these questions. Oh, Hannah asks us ridiculous questions.
You were probably
all the
like,
time.
Oh shit, I wonder what the answer to that question
is. We did.
Is.
We started Googling a bunch of them. Like, one of them was, what is the population of sparrows versus pigeons in New York City? And Mel immediately went to Google and looked it up.
Oh, it's got to be a shit ton more pigeons.
There's millions of pigeons and probably only like a few thousand sparrows because sparrows are more indigenous to northern New York State.
I want to see that war for some reason.
Just so you know, I have that information in my brain now.
It's
and
like
it's,
the 300 sparrows.
I pushed my children
if you wanna imagine,
out of the way.
If you want to imagine something
Social
similar.
Security numbers gone. Birth dates gone. But I can tell you exactly how many goddamn people in New York.
You should go read Penguins versus Possums. It's an awesome book.
That's interesting, but
I like it.
Good.
I like
that
it.
Is a really good book.
Who do you think Fan would really press? Win in a fight? A real life penguin or a real life possum?
Oh, possum.
Probably a possum, sure. Yeah.
Penguins are kind of. Possums are like.
Like penguins. penguins don't have like
claw one more time,
hands.
Please, for the audience.
I just feel like they would tear a penguin up.
I agree.
I saw a meme yesterday that was like for a corgi puppy for $500, and it's a picture of a baby raccoon on this lady's like. I was like, oh, that's going to go poorly.
I've seen those where they find foxes or whatever, and they're like, lost dog, come claim him if you know what if this is yours.
Yeah.
There's a meme.
He's been scratching around at the door.
There's a meme getting around about a guy who found a baby bear cub.
And thought it was a puppy.
Oh, yeah, I did see that one, actually.
And the bear is just like, ha ha, just like super excited looking.
He took it to a dog shelter for like a day, and yeah, he's like the happiest bear ever. He's like,
fluffy
they fucking
shit.
Put food in front of me.
There were other things I could chase.
Why? What do you think? Do you think they realized it when it growled, like, instead of barked?
Yeah, it's like,
why did
no
one at the dog shelter realize it?
That's what I'm saying.
This
like,
is a new class
like,
of dog.
It was basically there for, like, a day, and then somebody was like,
these paws look
this
weird.
This is a bear.
The fact that it was there for more than 15 seconds before someone realized it was a bear. Ridiculous.
That's awesome.
These paws are massive.
So guess what I don't have today? Any notes on any pop culture stuff?
Wow.
I haven't.
Yeah,
I haven't
what the fuck's
TV,
up with you lately?
I haven't read any. Well, I've been reading a book while I was working out, but.
Books.
My problem is that I've been going to sleep
Nerd.
Really early.
Oh, buddy.
So.
Last night, we went to bed at 9, just out.
How amazing did you feel this morning, though?
It was awful. I hate sleeping that much.
Oh, really?
I'm more tired today.
You seem more energetic than the last couple shows.
Do I?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Except for the one at night, because everyone was just fully
Maybe you need
to sleep.
I kept waking up, like, every couple hours. Oh, I'm good, baby. I'm watching the TV. Don't worry.
For the first time last night in like 2 weeks.
You're welcome.
And that was
wow.
Friggin' amazing.
Oh, I need you to tell Alicia what you're taking so we can make sure you can have a drink or two while we're out
in
San Diego.
So pretty soon, all I'll be taking is Citrapram. It's,
what
it's
a good pharmacy person you are.
No, it's what?
Did you pee? What are you doing here?
What is it?
Oh, I thought you were bending over to clean something.
Here, I'll
he had
look
towels
up
and he was
really
like doing
great.
Something on the floor. I was like, have you shit in a bag and you piss on Juan's floor?
Oh, so yeah, well, he can't read. He said he couldn't read earlier, so.
Earlier.
It's medicine names. It's bizarre.
Fucking Doyle's over here cleaning my floor, bro.
It's like
you're not that kind
whatever.
Of Mexican.
I know.
But it was, so I couldn't drink.
I leave like to serve.
I got. No windows. Oh, no.
No speedy.
Too fast.
What is that? I know what it's from.
It's Slowpoke Gunny.
Yeah.
Is
we were just watching those the other day.
It was something we were making fun of with that same talk before. I don't know. I don't remember.
Me neither.
Fuck you, comedian. That one's for you, Ashton.
Oof.
We can talk about that.
Do we feel sorry for Ashton? Is that what the theme of the today is?
Feeling sorry for Ashton.
Yeah. That he had to put all that shit into his head.
He didn't have to do shit.
Well, true.
I wasn't like taping earbuds into his ears or nothing. Be like, listen to my goddamn show, boy. Like,
you Clockwork Orange Ashton with TOTLB episodes.
You're gonna learn.
You gonna learn today.
No, he has a phone. Today. And one day he was like, "Do you know how Google Podcasts works?" I was like, "Yeah." He's like, "Cool." And then, like, 3 days later, he's like, your show's really funny. I'm like, oh, fuck.
No, I don't know. I don't know how it works.
Delete, delete, delete. Fuck.
Have you guys seen that Widows movie?
Widows?
Yeah.
No.
This is another thing to me. It's like Annihilation, Widows. They're like these all-female cast movies that are fucking amazing, and they're getting, like, no press or anything.
I will say something. You were speaking about all women, and I thought that sentence was going to end completely different.
No.
Well, like, Annihilation was
I didn't
awesome.
See that movie either.
I thought that movie was amazing.
Really good.
Widows is the shit, dude.
Is it? Is it a horror movie or a comedy?
No, it's like their husbands are robbers, and they die, and, like, these
oh,
other robbers
they have
want
to pull
money,
off the heist.
So they have to go pull off the heist, and it's all these, like, badass female characters, and the movie's sick.
That's so it's awesome. Like a way better Ocean's 10. Awesome.
Way grittier, for sure.
Fucking about time.
Was that awful? God, was that bad, the new women's one?
It wasn't good.
No?
Yeah.
Not because they're women. Let's just preface that.
Yeah. It wasn't because they were women. It's because it was poorly fucking written.
Yeah.
It was definitely an excuse to make... So the whole Comicsgate thing, like, let's be pissed off about inserting, you know, different types of characters into comics and stuff like that. Part of that is, like, a valid argument. Like, if you're just doing it for the sake of doing it, it can turn out garbage.
Right.
But if you just write a really good all-female story, fuck yeah, good on you. If you write a movie just to put a ton of famous females in a movie, it's going to be just as shitty as Ocean's 13 was. Like, the only point of that movie is to have all those actors in the movie again, and it's garbage. Like, you have to make something good. That's what sucked about the Ghostbusters movie, is it was awesome. Like, and I don't think they wrote it just to make, like, a female's Ghostbusters. It was just good. I've been watching too much Letterkenny.
We're on opposite sides of the Trump wall on that one, but I agree with your statement.
Yeah.
It was entertaining.
It didn't look entertaining to me. However, it may not have been very good.
I think I liked it mostly because Hannah loved it so much. Because it was made for little girls, like, and that was really, really cool. And, like, Hannah wanted to be a Ghostbuster just like I wanted to be a Ghostbuster.
I mean, to be fair, it was
– To be fair.
It was in that 90% of where all movies fall that it was plenty fine to watch.
It's good.
I just didn't love it at the end.
It's like a B+. Yeah. Like, I'm not out there, like, saying we need 15 more female Ghostbusters movies. I wouldn't say that about any
guy. I'll tell you what, I am excited for the new Ghostbusters movie. Yeah.
Oh, fuck yeah. Dude, I'm excited for anything that expands the Ghostbusters story because it's fucking awesome.
Any movies that you think need to just stop?
Fast and Furious.
They make too much money.
Yes.
It's never going to happen.
No.
It's not going to happen.
I understand that. I understand why it keeps going.
They're just so far away from the premise now.
Off the cliff.
Well, but I don't think if the plan was to make nine of those movies.
If the next one, not interested. Well,
because the next one has a bulletproof, super strong.
Well, that's villain. To be fair, that's not really a Fast and Furious movie. It's not a Fast and Furious movie.
There's no family in that movie.
The point is that it's...
It started off with,
like, stealing DVD players, and now there's fucking superheroes.
No, right.
What the fuck happened?
And around the fourth one, they said, we can't make movies about cars anymore. It's not, like, it doesn't hold itself up anymore.
Right, because it shouldn't be the Fast and Furious anymore. It needs to go somewhere else.
It's just, you can name your movie differently, is all we're saying.
Well, it's not Fast and Furious. The next one isn't Fast and Furious.
It's just called Furious and Furious.
No, it's Hobbs and Shaw. It says presented by Fast and Furious, and then the title is Hobbs and Shaw.
Hobbs and Shaw, mm-hmm. Butt Buddies Forever Family.
And I will watch a movie with Idris Elba, fucking Jason Statham, and The Rock in it. I don't give a fuck what the movie
is. That is accurate. Like, I'm probably going to watch that one.
Instantaneously happier with it just if it didn't say Fast and Furious. No, honestly.
I don't care. Look at Jurassic Park.
That's another franchise.
That can be done.
I still think it was good. And they're just doing different things with them.
The last movie was okay.
No.
It was bad. All right, I'm not excusing that.
There was way too low of a quantity of fucking dinosaurs in that movie.
Yeah, true.
Also, the first movie like inspires like shock, awe, and like wonder. And by this time, you're like, why? Why are we here?
Terminator films.
Yes.
That can be.
But fun. I hear a lot of good things about the next one. I will say the last one and the third one were almost made me want to stab myself in the eye. But the next one with Linda Hamilton, I have a lot of actually makes one want
to stab him in the eye because that's painful as fuck.
Which one had Christian Bale? That one was okay.
We said that the last time.
We talked about that got more publicity.
You're a good John Connor, probably because of Meltdown.
Exactly, that got more publicity for being bad because of Christian Bale's Meltdown than the actual movie. I actually really dug that movie.
We've got 7 minutes or so.
Right on. Okay, let's keep on this track. Other franchises that could be done.
Transformers,
yes. Fucking for sure.
Well, they're getting a soft reboot.
That's the thing. The problem is you get to the point where you're like, fuck, I hate these movies, and then one movie just brings you back.
And then you're like, all right.
That's what Bumblebee was for a lot of people.
It was for me, because it's like, all right, we're finally going to do it right? upward inflection? Maybe? Please? Maybe? Like, everything looked great. But John Cena was funny. As long as Michael Bay's nowhere near the project, it sounds pretty good to me. Still upward flexions. Like, I can't say this with any kind of certainty.
And that's the thing. They it fucks you, and then you get one movie that's just like, okay, I'm gonna give it another chance.
But is that worth it? Right? Like, is that worth
it's like an abusive relationship.
It's like the definition of an abusive relationship. You keep coming back to it. It keeps shitting on you, and then it goes, "Aw, baby, I love you, though."
I'm gonna have.
He's gonna get better.
He's gonna get. I can fix him.
I can fix him.
If I complain enough, I can fix him.
He's coming back from jail. He's gonna be fine.
Oh, speaking of jail, did everybody see that that John Still went to Facebook jail for a month?
Yeah, I didn't see that.
He posted something within his own private group that got him thrown into Facebook jail.
So even his own batch of fucked up friends were like, that's too much, John.
Pretty much. You ring a ding ding too hard, man.
Wow. Ding, 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 ding. All right, so what about things like Aliens and Predator? Because they have shitloads of sequels.
Aliens, I think, could be done.
See, I just you could just keep making Aliens movies forever to me.
Same.
Because it's so diverse. It could be so diverse.
I know
it
people
could, that's the problem. It could be so diverse, but heretofore, it has not been so
diverse. I'm not going to say that I've been impressed with anything since 3, but.
Oh, I don't fuck that.
I liked.
Resurrection is great.
I know everybody hates it, but I fuck both of you. I actually really liked Prometheus.
So we don't talk about that anymore.
The problem with that movie is that they need to make a director's cut because all of the deleted scenes make way more sense.
Shut up.
Matt Renwick doesn't fucking listen to this.
Yeah, but Marika still does.
He jumped off the train a long time ago.
Or
he jumped out of the
Covenant.
I don't even know what's going on in his life.
He just worked.
Like, Covenant was an awesome fucking movie.
Was it?
I liked Covenant, but I felt like it was an in between and not a.
It just wasn't enough.
Honestly,
I felt it just left me like, I'm excited for the next one if it happens.
All right, so before we go to the interview, this is what I want to know. Which series needs more?
Okay, I have one that's in both categories.
All right.
I think the main line of Star Wars needs to die, but I'm totally fine with them making more offshoot movies.
Yeah,
fucking A.
Solo's fucking
Solo,
great. I don't
Rogue
give a
One.
Shit what anybody
this,
says.
This Mandalorian show, all the screenshots of it look fucking cool so
but
far.
The main storyline, I'm ready to just be lightsaber.
Yeah.
See, Star Wars, I feel like because the universe is so big that it would probably be better fit as a TV show.
Because I'm tired of the Skywalker dynasty. I don't give a shit about those characters anymore. And that's blasphemy to say. Those movies are great, but I don't need...
The part where Leia died, and I was like, whoa, I'm surprised they did that. And she's like, fuck no, I'm forcing myself back into the ship.
Space Princess Leia.
Which is why I'm excited for Terminator, because I'm also tired of John Connor and all them. But the rumors are that that's where this is going to end, and they're going to move on to different characters. And that's interesting to me. It's different.
Yeah.
How about you, Tim? What's a series that needs more sequels?
That needs more sequels. Fuck. Somebody else go real quick. It's going to take me a minute.
Can we talk about for a split second how retarded Skynet is? Like how easily you could kill off John Connor with time travel and they don't do it. Just like wrap a nuke in human skin and send it back to the city he's in. No chance of survival. Done.
Yeah, but then it blows up itself.
Yeah, when Skynet still exists later on. We know Skynet is inevitable.
Hey, stop poking plot holes in like the movie that has the easiest
plot holes in everything. Right? Come on.
Terminator.
You know that Mack truck. You know that Mack truck
bottles
chasing.
Are wide.
Yeah.
Glaring.
They're driving that truck through it.
Well, that's just one of the ways.
I think there's a couple. I think Tucker and Dale would be an awesome movie to make two or three sequels to.
That's a good one.
Where they keep like stumbling into like horrible situations.
I want to see another Cube movie.
Oh, that's a really good.
Yeah.
Where they're in that cube that moves.
The horror movie.
Like the one of the worst Cube.
I liked them.
You don't like the Cube?
I didn't love it. No.
Wow, that's weird.
That is weird. Those movies are good. And that universe is like super fascinating. Yeah.
I think the universe is very fascinating. The movie is, I don't know.
The second one was eh. The third one that ended up being a prequel was actually pretty cool because it expanded beyond the cube itself.
Didn't even know there was a third one.
Yeah. It's just called Cube Zero.
Maybe it's because honestly, I can't remember the first one, and the second one was very off.
That's the thing is the first one left me like, what the fuck happened? Like I thought it was going to get resolved, and there was nothing there. I liked it.
Yeah, I'm still good with Harry Potter too. Last one was great.
You can just keep making Harry Potters forever.
They have a play. Why not adapt that into a movie?
The cursed child or whatever it's called.
Yeah. No, I like that they just ditched the Harry Potter part of it and just went with staying in the magical world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was good.
Well, we don't need any more from
Fantastic
him.
Fantastic Beasts. I'm good with
fuck
that.
This kid who lived.
Right?
Kill him.
Find the kid who collects monsters.
His story's done. Like, and that's okay.
No, I know. That's the thing. With those giant universes, that's the beauty of it, is you can just move on to somebody
else. And that's
probably
what Tim's saying about the Skywalker legacy. Make the story be done, and then do other shit.
Because there are so many other, like, way more fascinating characters.
I agree.
Like, everybody, like, I don't know how deep you guys go into Star Wars, but there's a character named Ahsoka from...
Balls deep.
So the character Ahsoka...
From Clone Wars.
People really want something with her because she's fucking awesome.
And a total badass.
You gotta be committed is the thing.
The Tolkien world, too.
Fucking
Batman TV and Superman. That TV show's gonna be amazing.
Batman and Superman were not committed.
They were both
committed. To expanding that universe.
The epic conclusion point of the writing happened to be Martha, which was just a terrible show.
Martha!
Why did you say that name?
Our mama's got the same name.
Do we have the same mom?
Did we just become best friends?
Yup. You want to go do karate in the garage?
Yeah. All right. I got to go do other work, and then we'll be back.
Mm-hmm. Hey, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Mario Candelaria, writer of comics such as Ashes and Epilogue, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box.
Are we ready yet?
No, we're not back yet.
Yeah, we're back.
Man, we were back once when we weren't back.
And we're back. Because Gabe's stuffing his face with waffles. Everybody else is preoccupied right now.
Trying to get John on.
Yeah. Bringing coffee I didn't know I had.
give us a little
ASMR
real quickly.
With your mouth open.
Ugh, that's gross.
It's so hot. It makes me want to jump off a cliff.
Oh, that seems intense.
Yeah. Your jump off a cliff ratio.
Has anyone ever told you that before? You chewing with your mouth open makes me want to kill myself.
Nope, literally nobody has ever said that to me before. Seems a little intense.
I don't seem to be able to think of a way I could enjoy my life after this. So.
I'm sorry that I have to eat after ruined everybody because I was doing an interview. Fuck you guys.
Just doing work for the show. How dare you?
Sounded like a good interview.
It was a good interview. He was fun to talk to.
They'll hear that before this one.
So,
hey everybody!
You guys talk to each other. I'm trying to eat food.
Talk amongst yourselves.
Gabe really doesn't have notes. That's just awkward for us.
I know. Okay, so like, let's get into it because I do have some stuff.
So
it sounds like, first, all the Marvel shows are canceled off of Netflix.
Yes. Before Jessica Jones came out, which is fucking weird.
Is it though?
Well, because they've waited for every single other one to finish their season before they canceled them.
They were probably just tired of announcing stuff.
My fingers are so tired. This press release is so long.
No more press release typing. This blows.
Can't be doing press releases all day.
They're like, it's over. Fuck you guys. Well, do you see? Well, now I guess some organization or group of people are putting up Save Daredevil like billboards all over the country.
In Times Square, I think.
Yeah, there's Times Square, like the LAX, like several major cities have these.
Is it an audible sign, assholes? It's coming braille.
Oh, man. Like, we all assume that when the Marvel streaming service comes up, those shows are just going to move over to there, correct?
That's what I assume.
So I don't understand why people are acting like it's such a big surprise.
Why are people so irritated?
All of those shows could not have universally failed in the same year.
Like, No, absolutely not.
This is clearly a business move.
Hulu was going to pick it up too, so I think they'll
Hulu's
be back.
Owned by
plus
ABC.
They are now on
by
Disney.
Now
they're now on to shooting and making newer, more fascinating comic book shows.
Like
the Umbrella Academy.
Yeah, finish your thought.
Man. I haven't seen it yet. I got it recommended while I was on National Margarita Day when I was drinking.
It is the shit so far.
So here's what's crazy about it.
Do you really
Umbrella
need a special
Academy?
Holiday for those, though? I feel like you can just drink them all
yeah,
the time.
Umbrella yeah. Academy has transcended in the same way that The Walking Dead transcended, in that people at my work are like, oh, you like comic gotcha. Books? Okay. Have you watched Umbrella Academy yet? Like, no, I haven't, because
it's fucking awesome.
I have no spare time. Bailey and Ashton binge watched it. Like, they watched it in no time flat. And yeah. the people at work, like people that don't watch regular ass TV, they like are talking about either the football game or like,
what are you looking for?
Plug.
They're either talking about the football game or, like, you know, America's Got Talent are now asking me about Umbrella Academy.
Dude, it's so good. I fucked up and watched it when I got home from work one day, and then just watched almost the whole damn thing, and then nearly died at work that night. I'm like, forklift so fast when you're sleepy.
I just sold a card to somebody who's a supervisor on the kill floor.
Oh, yeah, we don't interact with those bastards.
Oh, wow. I thought, maybe you know Doyle. He's kind of a big dude, so you might see him every once in a while.
Nah, Kill Floor.
He's hard to miss.
So, Kill Floor, second shift on Kill Floor is done by literally 11, and I show up at 10.
He told me midnight. He's a lying son of a bitch.
Well, there's a supervisor. He might stay later to like close up stuff, but a lot of their guys are bouncing out around a lot.
Yeah, he was the mid shift. He said they work from 2 to midnight.
Yeah. He might. Yeah, he said he may be there later.
Doyle's like, no, he doesn't, fucking asshole.
I've never seen him personally killing anything after 11. I pay attention to how often they kill stuff. I don't at all.
Isn't that part of your job? No,
he likes to watch the killings.
Unfortunately, I got to record all that shit in the morning. But I record boxes created, which is a rough number of animals destroyed, I guess. Like, you know.
How many cows were turned into boxes?
There's no way to talk about this and not have some vegan out there just like, meat is murder.
It is so delicious, though.
It is. Goddamn.
Sometimes I've had weird nightmares about like cows just like marching into my office while I'm in there. Just like, yeah, what now? It's like, ah, shit.
Are they going to punch you to death?
You know, like, Dream always is there.
They can just kind of step on you.
They're not going to eat you.
I assume if they, all just, if they all just rush in, it's probably over.
So I listened
to
this
big and strong.
So I listened to this D&D podcast, and on the last
fuck
episode,
those guys. Don't talk about D&D.
It's a sore spot.
So on the, it makes fuck Juan those upset. Guys. Fuck Juan. So the guy,
fuck Juan?
He polymorphs
fuck
one.
You.
Now that I'm hitting me on everybody's mics.
All right, Pee-wee, calm down, buddy.
So he polymorphs an enemy into a fucking cow, and then the cow rolls crit 20s and still ends up almost killing the guy.
That's amazing.
He's like, I turned it into a cow so I could get away. It's like, well, cows have 40 feet of movement, so you're not getting away from this cow, apparently.
Yeah, cows are mad faster than people think.
I know, in the game, so he almost dies to this cow that he's trying to escape. It's hysterical.
Oh, so cool.
And we went the one time...
Let's keep talking about Dungeons and Dragons.
The one time I went cow tipping as a child. Well, I was like 15.
A precursor to cow murdering.
Yeah, before I started killing them by the thousands.
Also a precursor to shitting in bags.
We're going to sneak into your house and Doyle tip.
Most times
they just roll him out of bed. He's on his back on the floor like a turtle.
Ink it up. That'd be so weird. Hey, it's really nearly impossible to tip a cow. I tried in the mud, unsuccessful. But if you can't tip a cow, what you should also never do is, out of frustration, punch it in the other bag, because they take it very offensively.
You probably kick you in the face.
Chase us down. Chase us down.
Something about the phrase utter bag just made me throw up in my mouth a little bit.
I just can't stop thinking about Doyle tipping, to be really honest with you.
Oh, that's funny. Kevin Smith, bro. Jay and Silent Bob's coming out in the fall.
Yeah.
I'm filming that bitch in 21 days.
I'm super excited for it.
Are you surprised?
Oh, I'm so excited. No, I'm excited. This is excitement.
I hope it's like a real movie and not just some, because that doesn't seem like a lot of time.
He said they filmed Clerks in 21 days, and that was the goal for this
Clerks
next movie.
Less than, you know, a car's worth of budget.
No, true. It was more than a car at that point in time.
Well, at that time.
You definitely couldn't buy a car for that now. Not one that works.
Right.
Except for probably from one who sells cars.
Yeah. I think it was still like 30K. Or
good cars.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. You could buy a nice car for $36,000. Fucking Gabe. Bitch.
I don't know shit about
or
cars.
Or you could make a black and white movie that will probably not be a good investment in your money, but it worked for Kevin Smith.
Right? I was like, that's a complete lie. I'm excited. I'm really excited for this movie to come out.
I am too. Oh,
yeah. He hasn't about done an in-universe movie in a minute, so I'm pretty excited.
It's about damn time.
And all those out of reverse unit movies have not done well. So.
So we're at this weird moment right now where tonight are the Oscars, but you won't hear this episode till 2 weeks after the Oscars. So with that said, do you think Into the Spider-Verse or Black Panther will win tonight?
Not a chance.
You don't think so?
Neither one of them.
Panther,
not
maybe.
I don't think Black Panther will win in the what's the category?
Best film.
Yeah. I don't think it'll win in that one.
Why not?
It always goes to some bullshit art house movie that nobody ever saw.
I don't know if it's bullshit, but it always go to some art house kind of indie film that happened to be really popular.
As an expert in bullshit, it definitely is bullshit.
Well, La La Land was it last year, right?
Yeah.
La La Land?
It was an okay movie.
I don't know if it was. I didn't watch it, but it generally got really good reviews.
I didn't mind the movie. I just hated they used the same music for every song.
Yes. So, other Oscar stuff. What is that show going to be like without a host?
So, should we give some Oscar predictions?
Well, you're gonna have to read off all the entries too, because I don't know anything about it.
I can do that.
Besides that, like, I really feel like, even though I feel like they deserved the nods, I feel like they were given the nods just because you have to at this time, a point in time, because how much money they make.
Yeah.
So let's say best actor, best actress, best movie, best director.
We're gonna do this very fast, okay?
Let's do it.
So actor in a leading role. Christian Bale for Vice, Bradley Cooper for Star Is Born, William. That's John.
Is that John?
John's calling us?
Yeah.
Whoa.
What up, John?
What's up, fuckers?
Hey, Big Sexy.
How are you, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
We are the goodest.
I gotta probably redo the intro because I said you wouldn't be on the show.
What are you up to, man?
We lose him?
Hello?
Boom.
Oh, well, he's gone.
That's not a good sound.
See what you did? The intro thing.
See what you did?
Sorry.
See what you did? Now you upset John.
You all right there?
Yeah, I just hung up because you said I wasn't on the show.
We all gave him shit for that. Don't worry.
No, how are you doing, man?
Jesus, Doyle. Fuck.
What happened? Somebody fall down?
We're Doyle. Next to me, which I feel like was his first mistake.
We're Doyle tipping.
We are going Doyle tipping later today, though.
John, I gotta ask, what's the deal with the two guys in North Carolina?
So that's Sean and Keith, the two of the three owners from I Want More Comics.
Okay.
And so they came down to the shop. You know, we have a good relationship with those guys. They're awesome guys. Go check their store out. We cheat on Marvel Comics a lot with them because Marvel has stupid qualifying numbers where you have to meet or exceed like 350% of some asshole title to be able to order variants for something. And, you know, those variants are things that people want, that people would like to buy, so I kind of need them in my store, but I'm not willing to take the risk of ordering, you know, 350% of Avengers number 12 to get Fuck Off Comics number 1, you know, Slippy Slap variant cover.
Can you put that in my poll? That sounds awesome.
Number one Slippy Slappy?
Can I get a number one Slip Slap?
The Fuck Off variant.
Yeah, the Fuck Off variant.
So... Keith and I, we cheat a lot, and it's pretty cool because we actually have Wayne from Time Warp and Travis from the Nerd Store and ourselves and I Want More Comics. A lot of times we'll kind of combine ordering numbers so that we can hit those, you know, whatever that barrier is through somebody's account. Sometimes it's my account, sometimes it's Wayne's account, sometimes it's never Travis's account. And most of the time it's through I Want More Comics.
That's some shade right there. That was awesome.
No, I just don't know what's going on.
Be real. Be real.
Right? It's cool because we have a good relationship with those guys. And so the last time, I think it was for Conan number 3, Keith came down to the store and picked up his copies of Conan number 3 for their shop and asked if he could have shirts. And I said, yeah, absolutely. You know, I'd love to give you guys shirts. And so he took a shirt for him and Sean, who always go to the Comics Pro meeting, and then they wore them there on the first day. And so I thought I'd have fun and take a picture of their dumbasses and say, you know, we're hiring 2 new staff members. And then the second day they wore Time Warp shirts, and the third day they were supposed to wear, I think, Big Easy Comics in Louisiana. They were supposed to wear their shirts. So it was pretty cool. And then after doing that, like, I had a buddy of mine, Andy, who used to be a rep for Valiant, who bought a store in California. He's like, dude, will you wear my shirt next year? And I was like, fuck yeah, as long as you have a fat guy size, I'd be glad.
That's awesome.
It's pretty cool.
Anything cool coming out of Comics Pro?
Yeah, so they're I don't know if you guys, I don't know how much you pay attention to the retailer side of things, but there's been 3 voices that have been around in the comic book industry for, you know, 30 plus years. One of them is Phil Boyle, who owns Coliseum of Comics in Orlando, and he actually has a chain of 9 fucking stores. Ooh. In the Florida area. So he put together what he called a manifesto of things, you know, because these are guys for 30 years that have been selling comics that made it through the 90s, you know, speculation bust. Another guy, his name's Brian Hibbs. He owns a shop, 2 shops in San Francisco called Comics Experience. And he's been around for 30 some years as well. He's the guy that sues Marvel. I don't know if you know about that or not, but there's this guy, Brian Hibbs, I don't know how long ago, but he actually sued Marvel Comics because they didn't have their shit together. And he's the reason that there is a final order cutoff. Like, that whole program was created because of him. And so he kind of had the same thing. He had, you know, canary in the coal mine syndrome for things that are going on that are detrimental to the sale of the retail sales of comic books. And the third guy was Joe Field, who owns a shop called 4 Color Fantasies, I think in Oakland or somewhere on the other side of the bay from San Francisco. And Joe's the person that created Free Comic Book Day. So, I mean, these aren't like dumb assholes like myself that have been around for a couple of years. These are guys that have been doing it for basically their entire career.
Well, you're not a dumb asshole.
Points about, you know, there are too many books being published. There's too many things that are fighting for space on a rack, and it's extremely difficult to order comics, not knowing what is going to happen. You know, to not know what the response is going to be. And so, you know, a lot of the publishers actually, you know, they all got copies of these kind of manifestos ahead of the meeting because, you know, the Comics Pro guys kind of – so I should start with that. Comics Pro is an organization that is specifically for comic book retailers. And you have guys that are part of the group like Phil, who have 9 stores in Florida, the guy who buys comics for Midtown Comics in New York City and all of their locations is part of the group. And then you have, you know, guys like Keith and Wayne and Sean and myself that are members that, you know, want to be better stores for customers. And you know, getting to – once a year they have a meeting and it kind of rotates around from place to place. Last year it was in Portland. This year it was in Charlotte. But – It gets everybody a chance to kind of get together, to get kind of a pulse as to what's going on in the industry, and then talk about ways that we can combat that, or, you know, fight that, or you know, lots of brainstorming sessions about how you market your children's section, you know, how you go out on buying trips for product that's not comic books that you don't have to get through Diamond, that you can make way more margin on than if you were buying from Diamond. and stuff like that. So it's a really cool meeting, and the other half of that is that, you know, you have all of the publishers that come in, and you get to kind of do they call them these round table sessions, where you sit down at a round table with, you know, Boom or Dynamite or Image or Aftershock or IDW or Marvel or DC, and you get to chat one-on-one with people that are making the publishing decisions from those companies. So that's what Comics Pro is. You know, it's kind of a lobbying organization for us against them, and us being comic book retailers and them being publishers and distributors. But so you have these three kind of, you know, big wigs, big dicks, big, you know, whatever you want to call them, that put together these manifestos, and Comics Pro kind of collected all of those and then sent them to the different publishers. And the publishers came to the table with, you know, pretty cool stuff that's going to help us hopefully sell more comics, you know, with the exception of DC and Marvel, who I don't think will ever change because of what they are, because they're, you know, a drop in the bucket of Disney now with Marvel and Warner Brothers with DC. You know, you have companies like Boom, who Boom won an award for the I can't remember what the hell it was called, something. Every year the group, the organization gives out awards to, you know, people that they see doing things positive in the industry. And then they also give like a memorial award to somebody who's passed away that had a huge influence in the industry. And Boom Studios, who publishes Power Rangers and Serenity and now Buffy and, you know, a host of really cool Lumberjanes and Adventure Time and a bunch of other really cool stuff. I want to say it was 2 years ago they created this Boom Guarantee program, which all you had to do as a retailer was to sign up for it, you know, give them your contact info basically. And then every month Boom chooses five titles that are completely returnable. No questions asked. And they're returnable in the aspect that they take affidavit returns, which means that we don't actually physically have to strip covers and send the stripped covers to Diamond. Because that's how returns work in the comic book industry for everybody else. So you sign up for this program, and every month they say, these five titles, you can order as many as you would like. And whatever doesn't sell at the end, you know, of the following month or whenever it is that they accept the returns back, you fill out this form and say, I have, you know, 27 copies of Firefly number one cover A that didn't sell. And you get a credit from Diamond for those 27 copies. Hmm. And so it's like the stepping stone to where everybody kind of wants to go. And they've been doing this for 2 years, and it's, you know, it's funny because their argument to giving people, to giving retailers exactly what they want and full returnability is that, you know, they offered this with huge properties like Firefly and Buffy, and they've still had to go to second and third printings for both of those books, which means that retailers didn't order enough. Like, they gave us the fucking tools to do whatever we wanted with it, and we still didn't order enough because they're having to go back to press for second and third copies. So it's a weird seesaw, you know, like, we want all this shit and they want to give it to us, but then we have to support them with that. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I'm guilty of it because, you know, some of the titles that they have out for their returnability program, it's like, I don't know that that will sell at our store. And sure, if I order 50 copies of that and it's fully returnable, but that initial, like, when I have to write that check to Diamond, that's money that's out of my pocket. And sure, it's like a loan, you know, it's out of my pocket for a little bit and that will come back to me, but it's still money that's gone. So it's a weird line that we have to walk to figure out what, you know, how to order these things, because I want to be supportive of them because they're obviously trying to do what we are asking them to do. And so they kind of came to the plate this year at the meeting with a, you know, the complaints are there's too many products, there's too many variants, there's too much this, there's too much this, there's not enough returnability. So let me see if I can pull it up. Hang on 1 second. They are coming out with a new series that is called, where the hell is that? Right here. Here's the Ross Ritchie post and Final Order Cutoff. Kieran Gillen is writing it, which is huge because nice. It is, you know, he killed it with Darth Vader. He kills it with, what's he writing right now? Wicked and Divine. He's got a very, very cool process. He's a great writer. You know, this is talent that is behind a project, and they're finally doing. And you know, this thing that they're doing, it's called. God, I suck. I'm sorry.
You don't suck, John. We love having you on. Are you kidding me?
Thanks. I feel like I'm just word vomiting, so you tell me to shut up whenever you were ready.
No, I'm actually really fascinated with what's going on. Like, yeah, it's super interesting.
Keep it going.
You lost me at 9 stores. We can't even open one fucking store.
Oh, right? Isn't it crazy?
You're kind of going like full AC mode right now.
Yeah. So it's called Once in Future. It's written by Kieran Gillen. It's got art by Dan Mora, who I believe was drawing Power has been drawing Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Correct.
But it's basically supposed to be a it's supposed to do for like the horror and supernatural things that Supernatural has done for a property like Indiana Jones. So it's going to be, you know, treasure hunters, that sort of stuff, and all kinds of crazy shit that's going on. Let me see if I can find the actual solicit for it. Give me 1 second to pull up Diamond's website. But anyway, it's going to be a miniseries. It's going to be a brand new original thing that they are publishing with some pretty fantastic fucking names behind it. And it's a 6-issue miniseries. It is completely returnable. Everything, every single issue. They're only doing one cover, so there's no variants for it. Every single issue will be completely returnable. And the more copies that are ordered within the direct markets, the bigger the discount everybody will get on there. Of course, there's no fucking description. Oh, my God.
You're fighting the power, bro. You're trying to get that description up there.
I'm trying.
That is cool, though, that it only has, like, one cover, so if you...
It's only got one cover, so you don't have to worry, you know, about A through F variants, and then 1 in 25s and 1 in 50s, and so all, you know, they're putting their best foot forward with huge creative teams. They are going to tell an awesome story because the focus is on the writing. It's not on fuck-all covers, you know, and variants and shit. And, you know, they're putting the money behind it by saying, you know, you can order whatever you want and you don't even have to send it back. It's all returnable via affidavit. So you just write how many copies you have left and then that's it. And he's like, and the more copies that are ordered, the bigger the discount is for everybody. So like they had a picture up, you know, like 50,000 copies would get everybody an extra 5%. 60,000 would get you an extra 8%. So collectively, if we as a retail group say we're going to support this, here are the numbers that we want to order, you know, they can say, all right, well, instead of getting, you know, your typical 50% off cover price, now you can get 58% off of cover price, and it's fully returnable, and it's a miniseries. So they're doing stuff like that to really try to – it's an experiment. You know, they were very, very vocal about this being an experiment to see, you know, you guys ask for all of this stuff, but they haven't seen the support of titles because they've had to go back to second and now third printings. And so if we want what we want – this is our opportunity to show them by putting in an order.
That's cool.
That means that I'm going to order a copy for every fucking one of our subscription customers and put that in their box and give them the register pitch. You know, who the fuck doesn't like Indiana Jones? If you don't like Indiana Jones, you can go shop somewhere else.
you can sign me up. I'm in.
Right.
But question, John. How do you think that might affect the part of the market that seeks collectability in comics?
Sure.
Just out of curiosity, I'm not that market, but I know that they exist.
It's definitely a concern. It's going to affect speculators, and I'm okay with that affecting speculators because though I'm not, you know, I can go on a whole rant about speculators and how what they do is not something that's healthy for the industry as a whole because they're taking comics that people, you know, that regular people would genuinely be interested in reading it, and they're buying it and then selling it for profit. I mean, that's what I do. So don't get me wrong. Like, but my job is not to conflate those prices and make a shit ton of money on it. I just want to pay my rent.
You know, it's interesting because, like, as a retailer, you're effectively doing that speculation thing. But what I think the problem ends up being is in the secondary market, when that price goes from you paid for, you know, 50% off and they're buying it for $4, they're buying it for $4 and turning around and selling it for literally like 100% more. Right. And that sucks. I mean, there's so many books that I would have loved to have started reading from the beginning, but I missed the first issue or two, and I have to pick up a third print, which isn't necessarily highly collectible. At least I get to read it, you know, or I have to wait for the trade to come out to read that first two issues.
It is frustrating when you, like, jump on Heavy Metal, like, one book too late, and you're like, fucking Teen Titans, $50 all of a sudden.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Batman Damned's, like, $80 out of nowhere.
That's how that Pestilence book was for me, Zombies in the Middle Ages. I was all about that, but I missed out on issue one and two. And I ended up having to buy issue one on eBay for, like, $60. I was like, what the fuck? That's insane.
So how about that Batman Damned stuff getting canceled? How's that going?
That's all bullshit. Like, we got to Dan DiDio from DC was there at the show. So he sat down, and I have to give him credit, man. That dude, there's a whole shit ton of drama that went down with his little talk, his chat.
I can imagine.
First, you know, he knew that those were going to... He knew that Batman Damned was going to be a question. He knew that the Walmart comics were going to be a question. And he fucking... You know, he came to the table with answers. He said that the dick thing in Batman Damned was completely his fault. And he was embarrassed. He said that when the copy came up on his desk, you know, when the review copy came up on his desk, he said that the art was a little dark and asked if they could lighten it up a bit.
So I don't feel like I can see enough of his cock. Can we lighten that up?
It's a bigger deal than the book. And he, you know, whatever. I don't know him. I know of him. I know I've met him. I've talked with him. I've done all that stuff with him. But he seemed like he was genuinely upset about it. And he's like, that's not what what we as a company are about. He's like, it was embarrassing. He's like, and so because of that, it's pushed everything back. Number three is not canceled. Number three was supposed to come out earlier than it is now, but number three is still coming out. It's just being resolicited. So Batman Damned isn't canceled. The Black Label stuff isn't canceled. They had DC had full workups of the new White Knight series that was there, full color treatments for pages and stuff. They had pencils and inks for the Superman, Frank Miller, John Romita series there to show off at the show that we could actually physically flip through at their little round table.
How did that look?
It actually looked really good. It was better than I was expecting. I'm not the biggest John Romita Jr. fan, but it looked better than anything that he's done in the last, like, 5 years. So I have high hopes for it. All of the Black Label stuff is still going to be magazine sized, with the exception of the sequel to White Knight, which is going to stay comic book format. So, I hate that they're, and during his whole presentation, you know, he's addressing all of this stuff. He's telling us that you guys said there are too many titles on the market. We're going to cut back on the titles that already aren't selling well. So they're not canceling stuff. The titles that they're not seeing good numbers on are getting, you know, are finding ways to be, you know, eliminated. So yeah, I guess they're canceling stuff, they're not chopping 20-25% of the line. It's maybe like 10-15%. So they're still going to be public, you know. Or I think that there was some article that ran that said that they were cutting back to like 22 titles a month, which is total bullshit.
I saw maybe like 50-58.
Seems low too.
I want to say it's in the like 60-ish range, because right now they're doing like 72 a month, and I think that they were going to take it back to like mid 60s.
That's nothing. There's like 70 X-Men comics a month already.
Right.
And they're already, and some of that stuff has already been phased out. Like Green Arrow is ending on issue 50, and they've designed it that way. They have a finite, you know, story that they're going to tell, and it's over at issue 50, which is a tie-in to Heroes in Crisis. People are idiots, basically. And while Dan is up there talking about all of this stuff, one of the asshole retailers that's in the room, because there's about 300 of us there, is leaking this shit to Bleeding Cool. And Vince Letario, who is one of the direct market sales guys, he's the guy that's responsible for getting everybody like exclusive covers and stuff. He ran up on the stage and he had the article because it was literally posted while Dan was talking about stuff with nothing but misinformation. And he showed that to Dan, and they had a new vice president of publishing that was there. And she pulled Dan off the stage. Like, they got pissed and they left. And I was like, oh my God, that's it. Like, we're fucked. It's over. You know, and thankfully they stuck around for the whole conference, and like everybody was super apologetic. You know, I don't know who the retailer was that leaked the information. There are two retailers that were there that I know work with the guy, with Rich at Bleeding Cool. So who knows? But like, it's fucking stupid that these idiots would rather have, you know, their 2 seconds in the spotlight, even if it's a, I don't know that it's a spotlight. I mean, they would rather have notoriety for that than focusing on being a better comic book retailer. And it just drives me nuts. Like, I want to punch people.
That's frustrating, man. That would be super fucking annoying.
Right?
I wonder if somebody didn't stand up and be like, who's got their fucking phone out?
Oh, they did. There was a guy who stood up and he's like, you know, whoever just posted that, he's like, fuck you. You know, you are not here to better this industry. Fuck you and get the fuck out. And of course, nobody got up and left. But it was funny because Carissa was in there and she was working on her laptop because she was still on a project. And I was like, it wasn't my wife, I swear to God.
Close the laptop.
Your wife is a secret agent for Bleeding Cool, and even you don't know.
She's a double agent.
Sleeper cell.
So what?
He got up and he took the brunt of it, and he actually answered questions and stuff. And you know, I don't have any issues with DC.
So what about the other big team?
Well, fuck that guy.
How did the Marvel chat go?
There was not a chat. So David Gabriel, who's the VP of whatever for Marvel Comics, you know, he got up and he's like, I'm going to make you guys a lot of money. And then he proceeded to show everybody the trailer for Captain Marvel and the trailer for Avengers Endgame, and basically read through a previews catalog of solicits for stuff that's coming out. Didn't take any fucking questions, ran off the stage after the presentation, and like did nothing. They didn't have a space at the round tables, so there was no way to interact with them, even though they are the biggest offender for all of the stuff that we have complaints about.
That is insane. Like, how can they not work on capitalizing the fucking movies into comic books? Like, that's the huge problem, and everybody that's in that industry knows it.
Yep. There are fans of the properties that we sell, but that doesn't mean that any of those people have ever set foot in the comic book store.
It's insane.
So how do you? Yeah, it's and that was one of the other questions is how do you guys with these intellectual properties that have thousands and millions and whatever fans, how do you get them into stores? You know, and that's not necessarily all their problem. That's our problem as retailers as well. You know, how do we do things to get awareness out there? You know, one of the questions that I had for the guys at Titan Comics. So Titan is from the UK. They publish all the Doctor Who stuff. They have been bringing on more video game properties. Like, they publish a Bloodborne comic. They publish a Life is Strange comic. I don't know fucking shit about that because I don't play video games.
They're good games.
If there was a Lego Batman comic, I would wreck it because I play the fuck out of Lego Batman.
They're good games.
We'll wreck that comic.
Yeah, right? So I don't know what Life is Strange is. I don't know what Bloodborne is. They make comics for this stuff. And the guy who is there as a representative from Titan, when we're sitting down at the round tables, he said that these, you know, and it's hard. It's hard for them as a comic publisher to say to the licensed property that they are publishing, you know, can you guys say something about this in social media? Can you guys say, hey, if you like this video game, there's a fucking comic book and you can go to your local comic shop and buy it. And here's a link to the comic store locator service. Apparently
cross promotion just better both.
What's that?
Wouldn't cross promotion just better both though? Cause if I love Iron Man and then I go read like 10 Iron Man comics and I love those too, that typically would make me more excited to see a second Iron Man movie. And I know that from, like, books and whatnot, from, like, my past. And I just don't see how it's not automatic, but...
Right. And the guy from Titan was like, well, the people from Life is Strange did that. And I was like, well, why didn't you tell us? Like, I don't follow Life is Strange on Twitter because I'm not a, you know, Twitter is, it's weird and I don't understand it and I use it to look at porn mostly. But I don't follow Life is Strange on Twitter.
That is the weirdest place to look at porn, by the way.
You know there's like whole websites for that shit, right?
John likes to work for his porn.
Twitter's easy for that. But I told him, like, how do you let me know that? Because I feel like I'm stuck with my pants down. Because I have all these people that are coming in and they're like, hey, do you have a Life is Strange comic? No, because nobody fucking asked for it. But if I would have known that you guys, with your property, you know, or with your partner, your licensed partner, that they were taking these steps, I could have been prepared for that. And I could have had things on my shelves to sell to these people and made their experience with our store a positive thing instead of a negative thing. Because chances are, if you walk into a shop and they don't have something that you want, you know, sure, I can try to order it for you. At that point, it was such a hot thing that it was sold out everywhere. So you'd have to get a second printing. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, they're going to go somewhere else to try to find that product. If not, their fucking phone, because they have access to the internet on their goddamn phone.
They're buying it in your store from somewhere else. No, thank you.
Exactly. So
I found it on eBay.
That's a huge disconnect. And I think that, like, getting that information to him, he was like, oh, that might be a problem. I can see how that would be a problem. We need to rethink our strategies better. And, you know, everybody's answer is, well, we send you an email. Because every fucking publisher sends an email. Every publisher sends an email. And it's impossible. It's funny that nowadays email has become physical mail. You know, email has become junk mail. Like it's yes, I see something from Jeff Stang from Image Comics, but do I click on it? Do I scroll through it? No. What I can do is that later on, when I'm ready to order something, I can go back and search for, you know, Jeff Stang at Image and look up, you know, preview copies of Little Bird or Die or Middle West. And I can go and read those things. But when that shit comes across your email feed every single day by so many people, like, it just gets lost in the translation. And
I literally have like 650 unread emails in my inbox because of that exact thing. That I get so many media emails from publishers.
Click on one thing and then you're getting an email from that thing every day. And yeah. Times that by a billion.
Or so. Two sometimes. Like Boom or like Dynamite, like there are days where I'll get 2 or 3 email press releases from them.
Yep.
It's like, what do you choose to read? Like,
it's hard. We're it's like that for the show because we have reached ourselves out to damn near everybody. So we get emails from Fox and Warner Brothers and then Boom Comics and DC and all these other places where it is, there's only, generally, it's only me wading through emails and trying to figure out what do I post and what do I have time to do, and it is hard. It's you get lost in it.
So it's weird. It was a productive conference for us. We try to go there with a focus every year. Like last year, the focus was really on, you know, beefing up our social media stuff and our social media presence and how to do that. Because there are guys, you know, there are guys who have stores that are members of the group that are on like the Facebook committee's fucking group and that get flown out to Facebook headquarters once a year to have, you know, dialogues about how, you know, businesses, small businesses, can utilize Facebook to be better and get more impressions and get the reach out there further. So this year it was more about developing and kind of curating our kids area because we have a space, you know, it's just kind of a space right now. There's a Lego table and coloring books, but I want to fill that up with comics and graphic novels that speak to kids that are not necessarily the superhero stuff. And like, that's a whole subset of the industry that I know shit about. You know, our kids aren't quite there yet. So there was a data company there that said, all right, where are you located at? And you tell them Denver. And she whips out this sheet of like the best-selling graphic novels from the Denver, you know, metro area. And I'm like, this is fucking amazing, because now I can try to hunt that stuff down and order it and keep it in stock. And if a kid comes to our store from Barnes & Noble and sees that we've got a selection of Dog Man, they're going to be like, oh, cool, you know, I need Dog Man volume whatever 5, and we'll have that for them. So
Dog Man is the fucking best, by the way. So is Roller Girl.
There's, I don't shit about Dog Man.
I totally thought you just bullshitted a title right there. Until
no.
Yeah, me too.
Dog
Man. That's the problem. Like,
Hannah loves Dog Man.
There is a whole, like, these people, when we sit down, like, we were, how the round table works, like, you sit down with a couple of other retailers, and you talk, so there were three stores that were at our table talking to all of the different publishers and vendors that were there, and the one store, we were actually sitting with Brian Hibbs, and he has a whole, like a book club, a kids book club that he does at his store, but I think his store is more of a hybrid bookstore with comics than it is a comic book store. And the other shop that we were there with was Green Brain Comics out of Detroit, and they throw a whole fucking a convention that's specifically about kids comics, and they've won awards for it. And so I'm just trying to sponge off of them as much as possible, because I don't know anything about this. And that's what's cool about it. You get to be around people like the Green Brain guys. When we went to talk to the CGC people, he's like, I just want somebody to come to my store and witness signatures. And then we get a piece of paper. And the lady's like, that's not how it works. You know, the books are encapsulated. You can't get them out. And so then I got to talk to him about that, because we've done that. We're a CGC facilitator. He doesn't know anything about that. So it's cool that you can, you know, somebody like us who's relatively new to this can still help somebody else who's been around for 20 years, because they don't deal with that, and yet, you know, they're killing it with the kids' comics, and we don't mess with any of that. So it's really neat.
That's cool. So
that was kind of our goal, is to make contacts and talk to people that we can buy things from that's not Diamond Comics, to put things on our shelves that'll, you know, sell to kids and to young adults and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, it's interesting.
That's awesome, man. It sounds like you got a shitload out of that.
Yeah, I was sitting at the airport last night just sending a shit ton of emails to people about this and that and the other thing and all that stuff. So it was pretty cool.
You were all business, business, business.
Yeah. Fuck you. I'm working. I have a shirt on. I'm working shit out of this laptop.
Were you on Twitter too?
No, I wasn't on Twitter.
That's for later, for alone time.
No, no room. We've got to head out to go pick up the kids, so can I call you back on my phone?
Yeah, we're probably going to take a break anyway and come back to our pop culture classic, so feel free to call us back to talk with us about Event Horizon, man.
Sounds good.
All right, brother. All right.
Later.
Bye, baby.
You guys want to talk about anything before we go to break, Rick?
I don't know. Do we?
Are we? Do we have any headlines? You've been quiet for about 30 minutes, so...
I was almost like,
oh, do we want to do quick Oscar stuff?
Oh,
then?
Yeah, let's do the Oscar stuff, okay, that we were going
to
do.
Right, man, right into Oscar stuff.
So you're going to have to edit this shit
very fast.
I didn't realize this was on, and I was eating the waffle right into this mic.
You were also like,
that's all right. You're not on the same track as me.
Being alive.
Me and Gabe are on one track, and you guys are on, just because of how we ended up sitting. Right. So I generally, when like now when I'm talking, I'll silence everything else. So it's you should be okay. actor in leading role, Christian Bale, Vice, Bradley Cooper, A Star Is Born, William Dafoe at Eternity's Gate, Rami Malek is for Bohemian Rhapsody, and Viggo Mortensen for Green Book.
I'm gonna say
going Rhapsody. I think I'm going Rami Malek.
I'm
going Dafoe, man. Dafoe deserves an Oscar.
God, what is he, like 100?
I don't know, he's gonna die soon. You gotta give him one.
He's been a million years old for like 6 million years.
Lifetime Achievement Awards after he dies. It's no biggie.
they'll put him up on the screen like they do all the other people who've passed.
In memoriam.
All right, so William Dafoe, and then 3 Bohemian Rhapsodies. Actor in a supporting role. Maras, I can never pronounce his name. Maras Shalali.
Oh, Maras. Marshalla Ali.
Yeah, yeah, for Green Book, Adam Driver for Black Klansman, Sam Elliott for Star is Born, Richard E. Grant for Can You Ever Forgive Me, Sam Rockwell for Vice.
I'm going to go with Sam Elliott.
I'm going to go with Rockwell.
I don't have a dog in this fight because I don't fucking...
Just fucking pick someone.
I'm going to go with whoever. Adam Driver.
Greenwell.
Sure, Adam Driver, I guess, because I've seen him in more things.
Which is weird because he hasn't been in a ton of things.
Been inside Tim.
It's true.
Best supporting actor inside of Tim this year.
He really knows how to drive that D.
Actress in a leading role. Yalitza Aparicio for Roma, Glenn Close for The Wife, Olivia Colman, The Favorite, Lady Gaga, A Star is Born, Melissa McCarthy, Can You Ever Forgive Me?
I think it'll be Glenn Close.
I think it will be Glenn Close. I want it to be Melissa McCarthy, though.
I was thinking Lady Gaga, because fuck it. Why not?
I was just going to sympathy vote Gaga in there.
I don't know.
Don't judge me. I was born
this way. I don't
think
Melissa McCarthy will ever win an Oscar.
No, me neither, but I'd like to hear one.
She's too funny.
Yeah, yeah.
Comedy gets no respect from the Academy.
I'd like to hear one.
Neither does horror or science fiction.
Right. All right.
It's going to be close because she's old and going to die soon also.
Actress in a supporting role. Amy Adams in Vice, Marina Tavari in Roma, Regina King, If Beale Street Could Talk, Emma Stone, The Favorite, Rachel Weisz, The Favorite.
Emma Stone.
I'm thinking Emma Stone, too.
I'm going to say Emma Stone as well.
Stone.
We're all getting stoned. Animated feature film, Incredibles 2.
Into the Spider-Verse.
Isle of Dogs.
Into the Spider-Verse.
Mirai, Ralph Breaks the Internet. Still into the Spider-Verse.
Still into the Spider-Verse.
It's going to be Invincibles 2.
Incredibles 2.
Incredibles 2.
I don't think it'll be Incredibles 2.
I think it's going to be Ralph Breaks the Internet.
I don't
know.
Though I would love
Ralph
Pamela Rubin.
Ralph Breaks the Oscars.
Though I would love Pamela Rubin to win something like that, because she was one of the writers on that movie. Like, it's definitely going to be Into the Spider-Verse.
Cinematography, Cold War... Lucas Zal, The Favorite, Robin Ryan, Never Look Away, Caleb Deschanel, Roma, Alfonso Cuarón, or A Star is Born, Matthew Libatic.
I think it'll be Roma.
I'm thinking A Star is Born.
I feel like A Star is Born also.
Sure, I'm going with that too. Honestly, I don't give a fuck. Most of these movies I haven't seen and probably will never see. That's my problem with the whole award thing in the first place.
Oh, absolutely.
Costume design, The Ballad of Buster Scruggs, Black Panther, The Favorite, Mary Poppins Returns, and Mary Queen of Scots.
Black Panther.
It'll probably be Black Panther or Mary Queen of Scots because it's a...
Those are definitely a lot of African stuff they wore. You know, Black Panther.
God damn it, Doyle.
Wow. I'm going to go Mary Queen.
Skip to Best Picture and...
There's directing.
Director.
Director? Directing or directing?
I think we want director and picture, probably.
Director and picture. We don't need to do all the other dumb stuff.
Documentary, film, foreign language, makeup, music. So Best Picture is... Best Picture is Black Panther, Black Klansman, Bohemian Rhapsody, The Favorite, Green Book, Roma, A Star is Born, and Vice.
There are three movies in there that are just specifically about black people this year.
Yes.
Thank God.
They're really taking this February thing seriously.
Fucking wow.
Wow, that was
damn it.
It was just accurate. My friend was amazing.
I'm going to say A Star is Born.
I'm going to say Green Book.
I'm going to be the guy that goes on a limb and says Black Panther.
Me too. Just because I want it to happen.
I want it to happen. Like,
I want it to happen.
I'm going to will it into existence by saying Black Panther.
So I think
is Green Book the right time? I just saw this.
Green Book.
Too.
Yeah,
that movie's actually fucking
good. It is really good.
So I think directing is the director one. So
yeah.
Let me go back up to that. So that's Black Klansman with Spike Lee, Cold War with Paul Lukowski, The Favorite with Yorgos Lanthimos, Roma with Alfonso Cuarón, and Vice with Adam McKay. Think right. Spike Lee wins it?
He might.
I literally saw none
Has
of those movies.
Won an Oscar?
No, I don't think so. We have to look that
Now's
up.
Now's the time. Now's the place.
I'll go with Spike, though, because he's the only one of those directors that I've heard of.
And Black Klansman was really good.
It was good.
I do need to see that. That's one I do want to see out of all of these movies on the docket.
I think it's going to be Roma.
Oh, yeah. He has one. Has no, he? Wait, no. He's been...
Spoiler alert. 2 months late. 2 weeks late.
1 second.
Wow.
I'm going to go with Black Klansman. Spike Lee. You said Roma?
Yeah, it just seems like the Academy's in fucking love with that movie.
They really are.
So I just think they're going to pitch like Best Picture probably to it, Best Director. Even though I want Green Room to win. Or Black Kitty.
Wow.
That's Black Panther in Spanish.
No, you want to say negro, not negro.
Yeah, my bad. I don't speak good Spanish, y'all.
He said it.
It just sounds so much worse when you have to say it again. That's twice.
He's won an honorary award.
An honorary Oscar?
Yeah.
Ooh, that sounds...
That sounds like a participation award.
I think in 2015 he got like a lifetime achievement award.
Ah, okay. Well, that makes sense. Spike Lee's done a lot of shit
but
like that.
Other than that...
I thought he died.
Other than that, he's only been nominated for two other movies. He got nominated Best Original Screenplay for Do the Right Thing and Best Documentary Feature for Four Little Girls. He hasn't ever been nominated for anything else.
That's surprising because he's made some pretty damn good movies.
Yeah, he has.
Okay, well, that was our quick little rundown.
Could you imagine if
rundown.
They ever did that? Like an in memoriam shit and the person wasn't dead? They just...
Oh, buddy.
They're like, I'm going to be crazy.
There's a whole movie about that by Pauly Shore.
That'd be so fucking funny.
Made by Pauly Shore.
Yeah.
Should we take a break?
Let's take a break.
All right.
For John.
This is Ross.
This is Heath.
From Half-Life: A Place in the West. This is from Thinking Outside the Long Box. A very great broadcast.
More interested in the name Juanita Fajita.
Juanita Fajita, you can't even say it.
I can
Juanita.
Say it.
Side note, we're live on YouTube.
Hi, YouTube.
Was your butthole on the...
Oh, hi,
inside?
YouTube.
No,
okay. That's a prolapse.
Not a Juanita Fajita.
Juanita Prolapse Fajita.
We're live on YouTube.
Fajita went
What's
wrong
up, YouTube?
Though. YouTube.
Nobody's on YouTube.
This thing's not hooked up to anything.
This mic.
So they're watching. They can't hear a goddamn thing we're saying.
I noticed that you did that earlier. And I just thought you were just putting it there for like looks for that camera.
Shit, we are live on YouTube though, and we're recording right now.
Anybody know sign language? YouTube. Where's Mel? We need Mel. She knows
Yeah, she does.
Sign language.
Where was Mel this morning?
Mel is in Cheyenne doing a roller derby clinic. So
you can go. We're still recording.
I know. Well, it's distracting. I have a hard time focusing on two things at once now.
Mel's taking the roller derby to the good people of Cheyenne.
Yeah, she's actually in charge of teaching like a certain skill for the non-skating officials, which is like an important part of the bouts. It's pretty cool. Like she's doing a lot of work with roller derby
she's
lately.
Doing the Lord's work.
Which lord? We're not sure. The dark one.
The derby lord.
The derby lord. Oh, derby lords, I command you to skate. Anyway, so today we're going to be talking about 1997's Event Horizon, directed by Paul W.S. Anderson, which I thought was kind of crazy. I had no idea about that until I was reading up on it.
Neither did I really.
Huh?
That doesn't...
We need to be
that doesn't seem right.
We're on YouTube.
Right. What else do you do?
I don't know. It's just, it's interesting. But it also stars Lawrence Fishburne, Sam Neill, Kathleen Quinlan. And of course, we talked to Jack Noseworthy, so he definitely gets a shout in this. So the graphic violence in the movie was cut by a full 30 minutes. And originally when it went to the MPAA, it received an NC-17 rating. So they had to cut a ton of the movie down.
To back that up, I read the wiki page.
Yeah.
Apparently... What was the studio that produced the film?
Paramount.
So apparently Paramount's test screenings had people fainting. And
why the fuck haven't they released this cut of the movie yet?
It had people fainting and throwing up at test screenings because of how violent and how sexual, like they call it the blood orgy scene was.
Yeah.
So I read an article, and you may get it in the trivia too, but I read an article that the directors had come out and said they had found a lot of footage
They just hadn't watched it yet, so they hadn't they didn't say what was on it. And then later, I guess in the future, somebody had asked him about it again, and he said everything that they'd watched wasn't viable. They couldn't put it out.
So it was so damaged that it wasn't.
So there's
good.
So there was a ton of footage that was not released, but it couldn't be released anymore after that.
What about the cut that they were showing people that made people sick?
Well, that's the thing is like they actually physically cut the film because that was back before they did a lot of digital stuff. So like those cuttings weren't saved properly, and as a consequence, because it was made kind of in the infancy of like the DVD market, special features, director's cuts kind of stuff. So there is a DVD out there that has what they have recovered plus like storyboards mm-hmm. of the things that they filmed in it. So
this is my TOTLB dropping the ball moment this week.
Yeah, they came
it's
out.
It's not
and,
a new thing. You're not allowed to do that.
The director came out and said that that Paramount wasn't looking at the dailies, so they would send them stuff and they just weren't looking at them. So they just kept
finally, going for broke.
Yeah, when they were done and they showed it to him, Paramount was like, "Fuck
Holy
that!
Fuck,
like
dude,
we can't
no,
show
you
that.
Cannot make that movie."
And so they
I
had
would have loved it if they were like, "We weren't saying anything, so we didn't think we were going."
So apparently that scene, the scene that everyone was like, no, less of that, they hired amputees to make the
and
scene
porn stars.
More gory and yeah. porn stars to make it like more like,
sexual,
rapey and sexual. Like,
isn't
the, what
isn't
the
there a Fangoria
fuck?
Magazine that has a lot of pictures from
there
it?
There is a Fangoria out there that has a ton of pictures from it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird stuff about that missing footage. So the suits weighed 65 pounds, and standing in them too Jesus. Long caused back injuries, but they couldn't sit down like in a regular chair because of the backpacks that were on the back of them. Yeah. So when I was talking to Jack, he actually clarified this. They actually made an apparatus. Like, so you know when you're at the gym and there's the – it's like a rack that you put your hands on, rest your forearms on it to like lift your legs up to do yeah. like a kind of a standing crunch.
Mm-hmm.
They created something like that for them that they could kind of like lean their arms over, and then it had a little seat that they could sit on. So they were literally hanging from like a weird little special hook contraption.
It's like a fluffer, but to stand up.
But to stand up, yeah.
But not for your penis to stand up.
Made an apparatus.
Oh, shit.
You know what-
I did a Doyle. I Doyled it.
Just Doyled the show.
Because Anderson wanted to make a rated R film, Anderson turned down a chance to direct X-Men.
Wow.
Like, so...
I'd rather direct
the wrong horse,
X-Men. I like Event Horizon, but I definitely would have rather have directed X-Men.
Clive Barker was a consultant on the film. If you're familiar with his books and movies, that makes a lot of sense. I thought that was really cool. And then Kurt Russell, when they were filming, when him and Anderson were filming a different film together, said to him, "Forget about what this movie is doing in the theaters now. In 15 years' time, this is going to be the movie you're glad you made." Like, and that's really rung true. Like, it is a cult classic and genuinely like a super fucking awesome movie. So, yeah, thoughts, guys. What do you guys think?
There's a scene that stands out in particular to me with this film, and it's the first time, what's his name, knows the guy you just interviewed.
Justin. Is his character in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so the first time he finds the black hole, like, energy drive thing for the spaceship, and it's a fucking, like, giant gyroscope spinning, I was like, that looks fucking cool, and how the fuck did they do that? Like,
so
how did they make that thing?
That is a practical effect.
I know. I'm like, that's a real fucking thing
of
somebody had to make.
Is the most uncomfortable room of all time.
So Jack...
Correct.
Jack talks in his interview that, you know, our listeners have heard probably like last week about how the entire set was practical effects sets. So, like, when you walked into it, it was epic and huge and, like, daunting. Like, that sounds – I mean, dude, that movie, the visual aesthetic of that film
is fucking
perfect. And it's super, super intense.
It's very high quality as far as the way it looks.
So
– like, I just watched it again 2 days ago, and special effects-wise, it holds up for sure.
So the scene where Sam Neill is in the space station and you can, like, see his reflection in the mirror – or in the window, and then it like pans out and you can see that he's in space and the space station and stuff. Yeah. Apparently that shot was a third of their special effects budget and everything else went into practical effects. Like, Jack talks about how he spent 8 hours in the makeup artist chair, that he would literally like go to sleep while they were putting like all the like flaked off, fucked up skin off of him. And that when
did he have more scenes or something that aren't in the movie after he got?
I don't think so. It doesn't sound like
or
it.
Imploded.
For the guy you interviewed, there's supposedly a longer sequence to when he went inside the portal.
Yeah,
like you get to see for like a brief moment what he saw, what drives him crazy.
And there's like apparently there's more of the
basically more of the gore that got cut.
The blood orgy scene. There's more of the Sam Neill's dream sequence stuff.
Which
like,
is fucking crazy as hell.
Yeah,
too.
There's all sorts of like almost everything that's missing is like violence and gore.
Well, you can feel. I would say like when you watch the movie, you can feel that it's missing too, though.
Yeah,
you can feel like
it is short. It's like 100 minutes long.
Well, you can just feel too like they were about to push that farther and then they didn't. And I love how they don't even address the scene where they're in the hospital area and the fucking windows are covered with like gut splatterings. Like,
yeah,
they're standing right next to it too, like within touching distance, like not gored out by that.
Well, it's like that lightning. They can't. It's like the whole wall is dark and then it goes, and then there you can see that the walls are just covered in gore. Like, I don't know. Maybe they see that a lot. Yeah. Maybe that happens all the time in space. Who fucking knows?
Hey, what about it?
Well, they lost pressure in this cabin. Yeah, bodies just bursted like fucking pinatas.
I had a weird like,
see it all the time.
Just no candy. Just so no it's candy. Nothing like a pinata.
No candy. Just
nobody hits it. No candy.
Just lower intestines.
There
everywhere.
Are a lot of what I call white people don't do that moments in this movie. Like, don't enter the void black space. Also, if you know a bomb is on the ship, get the fuck off the ship. Like, no, I'm going to find that bomb. Just leave, asshole.
He was sad. It was his ship that was blown up.
Oh, I know, but you still get the fuck out.
How about you, Juan? What did you think of it?
I love this movie. Okay. I have loved this movie for a long time, but upon revisiting the movie, like Doyle, you could feel that there was something missing. You could feel that there were points in the movie where they were going somewhere, and it just was like, all right, I don't know what the fuck just happened. Like,
it's kind of herky jerky.
It is. It's really weird. I love the movie though. I don't know why, because it's super over the top, and I think it's just the fact that maybe they were going to go to hell or something, you know, blah, blah, blah. I feel like we were talking earlier about what could stand to have a sequel. I feel like that movie could stand to at least explain or you know, expound on that universe a little bit more, even if it's not with,
especially
you know, Sam Neill and Lawrence Fishburne and all that.
Especially
the way
it
very
ends,
detailed commentary.
Because he wakes up somewhere from his hypersleep, and the first thing he sees is like demonic Sam Neill like leaning over him. He's like, ah, fuck, and then he wakes up from another dream still surrounded by like rescue people. Like, was that the ending?
Yeah,
maybe not. Maybe he himself is now like moderately possessed. They're still technically
the one
on
guy that survives.
They're still the guy and the girl.
No, so it's the chick and the black guy.
Yeah, Fishburne.
Fishburne doesn't. It's the other guy. The guy who got blown into space.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so
the black like rescue guy.
But when they're being rescued, they're still technically on the front half of the Event Horizon ship. Yeah. Like, right. It could still very well be possessed or whatever.
Yeah, they leave that door open, I think.
So that'd be fucking awesome to see, like, well, here's a whole new batch of people that came to rescue these assholes that were trying to rescue those assholes, and now those people are also fucked. Like, that'd be a great movie, too.
So when this movie came out, like, the standards for what could be R, like, it was definitely pushing it. Do you think they could push it further now?
Absolutely.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
And they need to.
Fucking Deadpool 2 has a small baby dick in it. Like, there's almost nothing you can't do with the rated R now.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Well, I mean, and at the
fair point,
I'm just saying. at the same time, the half of the Event Horizon leaves. Like, it's not destroyed. They destroyed the connection.
Yeah.
But there's it just is gone now.
It just
now
is gone.
It could come back or wherever
it
went or whatever.
Be somewhere else. Right. Somebody could find the back end of the Event Horizon somewhere else.
It also could have gone somewhere else. There's no saying it goes to the same place every time.
That's what I'm saying. Like, physically, what if the back half of the Event Horizon just blips into Earth orbit? Like, no, that would be a great movie.
I mean, but when it was out of normal space.
Because it violates space-time continuum.
That's not hell dimension.
Right.
But maybe it's hellier dimension. So
because it violates space-time dimension, what if it goes, like, back in time to, like, before Event Horizon launches or something, or comes... jumps further into time and comes back like several hundred years. Yeah, like that.
We should stop talking about this before they make another Invisible John Cena pop.
Before they fucking steal something else from our show.
Yeah.
By the way, they already made a sequel to this movie.
To be fair, I don't think
it's called The Matrix.
What we don't understand is Fishburne was in an earlier version of The Matrix where we were spacefaring, and when he went into the black hole, he woke up into the real world.
That was him taking the red pill,
exactly,
or blue pill, whichever the fuck it was.
Which is weird, because I kind of had that weird-ass dream after I watched this movie.
But
I was like, Matrix is Event Horizon.
I don't think we ever have to worry about another Event Horizon movie coming out, because I guess it only grossed like
$5.
Yeah. It had a budget of like $60 million, and it only made like $27 back.
I bet you it was an epic,
like it was an epic failure at the box office.
It definitely made its money back because it was a heavy DVD
by now, for sure, but
VHS sale and rental.
The one part I think the movie falls super short in, even though I still do love the movie, is Sam Neill's descent into madness, which I'm sure is part of all the scenes that got cut out. Is way too fast in the movie.
Yeah.
He goes, I'm fucking crazy.
He goes from 0 to 1,000 instantaneously.
Well, it makes me crazy. I'm like possessed superhuman. Like,
yeah.
It makes me feel like they didn't tell, aside from him creating the ship, it makes me feel like there's a whole backstory to him already being crazy and then getting onto this ship to get back to the Event Horizon for a reason.
Yeah, maybe he actually has already gone to the hell dimension.
That's a part of what makes me lost.
it's cited as part of one of the deleted or lost scenes where there's more backstory between him and his wife before she dies, because we only see her in the movie after she's already dead.
After she's fucking black-eyed?
So, yeah.
Apparently there's also like a scene where Sam Neill was supposed to like spider-walk naked down a wall. Like,
yeah.
And then he's like, yeah,
okay,
don't show my cock.
What's that?
So I'm okay with leaving
that. Yeah. I don't know if it makes it more creepy. Fucking sure, throw it in there.
That scene
not?
Where she's cutting her wrists and then standing above him is, I'd say, one of the most fucked up scenes they left in the movie.
Yeah. A lot of the scenes with his wife are just, like, truly unsettling.
Yeah.
Like, he's in that weird room with all the circuits around him, and then she just appears behind him. I was like, ah, fuck. Like, I hate that. I hate it when people just appear.
Especially ghost women or ghost children.
The eyes.
Damn it.
The eye, and that's the weirdest thing. They made her pale, and they gave her these fucking creepy-ass eyes, and then I was like, whoa.
That's what got me all through fucking Haunting of Hill House. Every time the crazy dead mother shows up and she's like, Matt! Fucking like, God damn it, go away. Stop it.
They were saying the same thing.
Stop it, fucking ghost. Bitch ass ghost. More ghost hunting shows need to use that line. Stop it, you bitch ass ghost.
It's like Korg from the third floor. Piss off, ghost.
Korg having a ghost hunting show.
Yes.
Why does that exist?
Wow.
He's bloody gone. He disappeared.
That's weird.
Piss off, ghost.
Oh, man. This movie's great. I love this movie.
I've really loved this
movie since the first time I saw it.
It's like, really good.
One of my favorite bands, like, sort of used a line from it. You know, just the whole Latin where the dude's holding his eyeballs out is fucking creepy as shit. Like,
save yourself from hell.
Like, the gore orgy thing is probably the first time I'd ever seen anything like that in a movie. And was like, there's got to be other movies like this. This is amazing. And,
so brutal.
Oh, dude, it's like the whole album's like a metal band come to life.
I don't remember the context, but I do remember being asleep in a room, waking up. I think Bobby was
being tipped.
No, Bobby was explaining this movie to somebody, and he was quoting the "hell is just a weird word." The reality is much, much worse. And I was like, "What in the fuck is going on?" We've gone up in Horizon.
I say this movie and Mandy are probably the most accurate depictions of heavy metal albums as movies.
Yes,
Still haven't seen Mandy. I need to.
Oh, dude, fucking good.
I bought it after you said it. It's on Amazon Prime. Amazon
it
Prime
is the absolute fucking best thing I watched last year.
Couple little things. Jared, is his name Rager? I always feel Rager. Like I always get that. Rager?
Yeah.
So Jared says it's so good. Hold on, let's do that again. It's so good.
Oh, it's my turn. It's so good.
Evidently, Jared's super gay.
I'm Jared.
I don't know this guy. Have I met him before?
I think so.
Is that just rag on a total stranger? No. It wouldn't be the first time.
Oh, we went to a movie with him. I did, at least.
Yeah, he would laugh. He's laughing. Yeah. Is he watching?
I don't know.
Definitely, he wouldn't take offense to it.
No, he would laugh. He's a good guy.
Whoever you
Dave,
are, don't be mad.
Dave King quoted, "She knows my secrets. She knows my fears." Brent Fisher said, "Fuck this movie. God, it scared the shit out of me."
Dude.
He said, in quotes, "It's awesome, but man, I had the lights on for a week."
when I was a kid, terrified me.
Now it's not quite as scary. It's just awesome to watch. But when I was a kid, man, this fucked my brain
like,
up for a little bit.
When that movie came out, I feel like Sphere also came out relative to that one.
Pretty
and
close.
Both of those movies, like, no sleep for, like, preteen Tim. What's not happening?
For me, it was In the Mouth of Madness and Event Horizon, which both star Sam Neill.
In the Mouth of Madness is still fucked up.
And they both did a fucking drop kick into my brain. Like, it fucked me up for a little while. You can ask Steve. I was going crazy there for a minute.
Brent Fisher also said, "I love the juxtaposition of the bearing witness to the unknowing horror of the void being shown above a near complete couple set of willow tree figures, which is on my TV."
Nice.
Okay, I was like,
"Thank you, Brett. Go check out his podcast, happen. Just Okay Gamers."
Is that a podcaster?
Yeah, he's the guy that housed me when I went to Columbus.
Oh, nice.
He is the originator of Letterkenny for all of Greeley, apparently.
Oh, dude.
We have him to thank for that.
Thanks, Brent Fisher.
Bitch. I owe you a handy. Never buy you a Coke.
It's going to be sad handy, though.
Oh,
lots
yeah.
of tears.
All my handies are sad.
All handies are sad, dude.
My hands are so dry.
On that note,
wow.
A handy from wine might not be so bad. It's got those super moist hands.
Yeah, I do have very soft hands.
So not from lotion, though.
Some cars are so soft.
Hey, my hands aren't made for rough labor, bro. They're not.
They're mostly made for masturbating other men.
Yeah.
Mostly.
No. Not the Dutch rudder.
Dutch rudder.
It's not gay. We're touching dicks. I'm touching my dick.
I can only masturbate myself every couple of weeks or so. Trust is bleeding.
Yeah. God damn it.
Wow.
Any other comments?
No, that was all of them.
Awesome.
That's cool though. I like it. We got a lot of likes, and
I think Event Horizon's like a beloved movie.
Somebody gave it a laugh, which I don't know if that's good or bad.
Or creepy.
Yeah, I don't know.
This is my favorite film.
I love the blood orgy scene.
I've always wondered what it felt like to vomit up my own intestines covered in barbed wire.
Wow.
That's in there.
Yeah.
I definitely haven't freeze-framed a bunch of these scenes just to see what the fuck was happening.
He wants to see the naked women.
Because the weird gory parts are very quick because I cut all that shit out.
Yeah.
So
there's a demonic figure in the back with a staff, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, what's that guy's deal? He's just chilling back there with a staff.
It's the devil.
That's the Event Horizon, bro.
Es the devil, el diablo.
Said the only white guy.
It's the devil.
That's awful.
All right, so what do we say? I for sure give
thumbs
this
up.
A thumbs up.
Thumbs
Way,
up.
Both thumbs up.
Thumbs straight
Let
up
us know
ass.
What you guys think.
Way up there,
Event
Marty.
Horizon.
Yeah. So let's
see. You out
John.
There.
You're supposed to call back John.
In YouTube land.
He doesn't watch our YouTube channel.
I know. Are you kidding me?
John. Most people don't even know we have a YouTube channel, which needs to change.
Working on it. We mention it every time. Okay. So the next pick is Juan's pick.
It is?
Juan. And Juan picked, or no.
I think we
Jason.
All.
The J stands for Jason.
Oh, I was like, I don't.
Juan gets a pick?
I don't remember this. I thought we were watching Jaws next.
No. Jason's pick was next, and then after that is Jaws.
Cool.
And Jason's pick, Maniac Cop. So
was my next pick. Unless me and Jason both picked the same movie, and that would be amazing.
I feel
you
like
picked Event Horizon, and he picked Maniac Cop.
No, but I was telling you last week, my next movie is going to be Maniac Cop. So if Jason actually picked that, that's kind of crazy.
Maybe we are supposed to watch Jaws and then your Maniac Cop.
Well, I think Jason would be after that, wouldn't he, since I just picked Event Horizon?
So it went you picking Event Horizon, and then I have Jason written down as Maniac Cop, and then Jaws written down as
he
a show
pick. He might
have
picked Maniac Cop, and I just also wanted to watch Maniac Cop. Possible.
We're going to watch Maniac Cop, and we're going to reach out to Jason and ask him if that's what his pick was. And if it isn't, then he's going to pick the next one after Jaws.
If it is.
Because this has become a confusing clusterfuck of a mess already. Jason, all it's meant to be is a fucking list, and I can't even keep that right.
If you picked Maniac Cop we're giving each other handies, Jason.
I just sent him a message. We'll see what he says. Nice. A Maniac Cop doesn't seem like a movie that he would choose, do you think?
Oh, I don't know, man. He's picked some really weird movies.
Because the odds of both of us picking Maniac that has to be better than Lotto odds.
I feel like plus we need to watch movies. Whatever Jason's pick is next, though.
If Jason hasn't picked...
It could be Jason's
pick. And he gets a hold of you, we aren't watching Maniac Cop. But if that is Jason's pick, we are watching Maniac Cop. No matter what.
Sorry, bitches.
No matter
what. I don't
know
what the fuck's going on now.
No matter what, Maniac Cop and Jaws is being watched very shortly. Yes, yes. So. I can't wait to watch Jaws. I fucking love the shit out of that movie.
Yeah. I've seen it a bunch. I'm excited.
I don't know where I'm at.
I've honestly seen it in the last 3 minutes.
Dude, it's just a straight up action movie with a giant fucking shark.
We'll talk about it next time.
Oh, you know what we forgot to do?
Read the book, dude.
Talk about Tommy Wiseau's new big shark movie.
The book is amazing.
We can come back to that after
Jaws.
No, we forgot to talk about how we had a discussion in the car about Event Horizon. Back to you, Juan.
Oh yeah.
Back to you, Juan.
They started talking
what
about
what the
event.
Fuck are you talking
they
about?
They started talking about Event Horizon in the car. I was like, save it. Don't talk about it now. We'll talk about it on the show. And then Doyle goes, well, Juan, we had a great conversation about Event Horizon in the car. Back to you, Juan.
That's funny.
You guys said something that you were going to come back to earlier that you discussed.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in the next one, though. I think that was about the comedian.
Yeah.
Fuck the comedian. Oh, yeah.
But if you wait till the next
you know what?
Show.
You no, 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 the next
you
segment.
You did the old man pick.
Oh,
yeah. And that'll be
yeah,
it.
The that, next okay. segment. The
comedian
next
will be my old
but
man pick.
This is all, for some reason, I've designated YouTube as the pop culture classic spot.
That's cool.
So,
but if you want to keep up with what's going on next, yes. Check us out on Facebook Live.
Yeah.
We'll be going
and
live
join
there.
Join us next time where we might watch Maniac Cop.
Might watch Jaws.
We might watch Jaws. We might watch something totally fucking different that Jason picked out.
Something weird, like, I don't know. Fantasia.
Before I
that
guys,
would be amazing, by the way.
Don't pick Fantasia, Jason. Pick Fantasia, you know what I'm picking.
Maniac Cop. Time Cop.
Battlefield Earth. I know that's going to be the answer.
Time Cop's a quality film.
All right, we're going to go to break, and then I'm going to say bye to YouTube.
And this is Joe Pye, Jose Pimienta, writer and illustrator of the upcoming graphic novel Suncatcher. Thank you so much for listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box. I hope you guys enjoy it. Have a great time.
All right, and we're not back.
We're not back?
And we're not back. We're recording on this. We're not live yet. Oh, now we're live.
Show is recording.
Now we're live.
Hi, Facebook.
Hey, Facebook.
Hi, Facebook.
What's up?
What's that? There's something I'm glad that died in the 90s.
No way, I loved that.
I fucking hated it.
Every time someone said on the phone, I just wanted to virtually uppercut them.
That and the Budweiser frogs.
Oh, they were amazing, too.
Some of those commercials were great, though. And people weren't constantly spouting out that shit, so it didn't super annoy me.
I do love the new Bud Light commercial where they're, like, Ooh, in the light. Castle. And he's all, your shipment of corn syrup came.
You did it again. Why do you always do that?
You can't judge him. You just did it.
Because my phone's like, you got a notification. I didn't fucking look at what it was, but I clicked it.
I was trying to make sure we were actually live
black
on
over here.
YouTube.
Well, we were, Juan. We were. And we are on Facebook.
Are you sure? Can you check one more time?
Good.
Oh, that's amazing.
It's still there.
Jason is texting me the longest fucking sentence on earth.
He's going
just
full.
The little lines are just doing this.
He's going full AC.
And it's
going
to come back with just like, yeah, I chose me.
Let's tell Facebook what we're doing. What the fuck are we doing?
So, I don't know what we're doing.
So, of course, Facebook, this is Thinking Outside the Long Box. We're in our third segment, which is called the Old Man segment, where typically I reminisce about something that I absolutely fucking loved when I was a kid. But
shouldn't it be called the middle-aged man
That's
segment?
That's what you loved as a kid?
Butts.
You're not even technically middle-aged.
Loved butts as a kid.
40, yeah, middle-aged, motherfucker.
What? I thought middle-aged was like 50.
See how much fucking gray hair is up here? Like, I'm old. Fuck off.
All right.
Wow.
34.
Middle age isn't 50. Who the fuck lives to 100? Like five people a day?
None of us live in the 80.
Yeah.
Maybe Sam.
No, Tim's fucking going to die before all of us. Are you kidding me?
What are you lucky if I make it through the show?
It's true. My whole family is riddled with like really diseased people who just don't die.
Yeah,
just get older and shitty.
Mexicans
lives.
Are like Chicle in the sun, bro. They just hang on to life.
So today, our old
side
man-
note, I'm going to interrupt you. Jason said L.A. Confidential. Guy Pierce.
Okay. So we're watching L.A. Confidential, not me.
Not excited, but thank you, Jason.
We were really hoping you'd pick Fantasia.
I was really hoping for a Maniac Cop bro moment with you, but I guess.
Jason said, hey, guys. What's up, Jason?
Hey, Jason. Confidential it is.
You just slammed him right to his face.
No, I'm fine with LA Confidential. I was just hoping the bro moment of...
Oh, of you both, Maniac Cop. Both choosing yeah. Maniac Cop?
It will be kind of nice to have a break from, like, hardcore horror to hardcore horror. Like, yeah. Maniac Cop's a pretty fucking intense movie. Wait, which one are we watching?
We're watching...
Are we watching the Nick Cage one?
Oh, I thought you said...
Oh, no, that's Bad Lieutenant. Yeah, I'm thinking like, of Bad Lieutenant, sorry.
I was like, there's another Maniac? They redid Maniac Cop?
Sorry, my bad. I got my Maniac Cops and my Bad Lieutenants yeah. confused.
I mean, if they were going to remake that movie, Nick Cage
is the man for the job.
After Nick Mandy, Cage, I just want to see him in every horror Maniac movie.
Ivan Drago's not a real person.
Jason Wells laughed at you, by the way.
It's all right.
You deserve it.
Yeah, Jason's like, I would never choose Maniac.
He's like,
I have taste, yeah, sir.
That's why when you said he chose Maniac Cop, I was like, that doesn't sound like something Jason would choose.
That's why I said, yeah, Jason picks good movies.
Hey, sir. When we watch Maniac Cop, your thumbs will be up.
Something will be up.
Yeah, I'll stick something else.
When I finally get that $5 to be a Patreon or whatever. What is the tier to pick a movie?
Fucking $20.
$25 bucks?
Yeah.
Fuck. I'm never buying you a Coke.
Oh, man. So today's old man segment, I'm going to defer a little bit to Tim because we're going to talk about, as I talked before, my son has been listening to the show like really, really actively.
Sorry, Mel.
She don't watch us or listen to this shit
anymore.
She
might be watching us on Facebook.
I really doubt it. She's pretty busy today.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
So,
it's too late for Ashton. He's ours now.
He already tells horrible jokes and has heard horrible things from someone.
To me?
Tim and Doyle.
Oh,
both of you fucking horrible influences on children.
Nothing wrong with an occasional dead baby joke.
It is when they're... Yeah, never mind. Anyway... So he is constantly amused by our reminiscing about how bad the comedian was. I don't even remember the guy's name.
See, fuck, I'm constantly amused by the fact that I hope he listens regularly.
Fuck that guy.
It's just tears.
So if you're not familiar with the story, I'm going to recap it really quick. One time, this was maybe Tim's...
Hey, Dana.
This is maybe Tim's second appearance on the
he
show.
He hates when I do that
I
shit.
Do. I absolutely despise it.
She gave us a clap. I had to recognize her. I'm sorry. Dana, when people are chatting at us, I'm going to recognize them. I'm sorry.
It doesn't mean I have to stop hating it.
Because we are... See.
Ultimately, we are an audio format, and you're pandering to a visual audience.
No, ultimately, we're going to be whatever format we're doing at the time. And so the YouTube channel, hopefully, is supposed to be bigger, so we'll see.
Let's hope.
But this is the Facebook
channel,
you asshole.
Well, that's true. I'm going to move it to YouTube.
There's no revenue to be generated off of Facebook streams.
So going back to the story, at one point, it's like probably Tim's second or third time being on the show. And the first few times Tim was on the show, he was like really awkward. Because he was really fucking scared, I think.
Like, yeah, just like...
You were shy.
Yeah, camera shy.
You didn't know what you were getting into.
Fuck no. And I just barely knew you guys at the time still.
I don't think anybody in their right mind actively gets into our show and goes, oh, I know that these guys are going to talk about fucking grapefruiting and dicks. which is what the thrust of the show was at the time. But so
correct.
We had invited this guy on... because he was of John. Yeah, he thanks,
was a,
John.
He was a customer, customer at the shop.
Dana said, "From now on, you're not allowed to use 'hate' and 'Dana' in the same sentence."
Dana, I would never hate you. See what I did
we
there?
We just hate the way Ron referenced you
as an amazing person.
as the worst.
God, I just hate Dana's last job. Congratulations on your new job, Dana.
Her last job was just being a student. I think this is like her first.
Well, with the radio that other thing. Place too, though.
Now she works
that's
like
right,
a,
that's right.
Now yeah. She works at like a news outlet or something.
She works for Fox 31.
Yeah, that's huge.
Oh, isn't that their Trump station?
No. The local news is normal.
You're never allowed to use Trump and Dana in the same sentence.
Which is worse, Dana? Using Hank and Dana in a sentence together, or using Trump and Dana in a sentence together?
What are you doing?
So when the comedian came on, he announced to us, he's like, genuinely, I'm a stand-up comedian. That's what I do. And he was very like excited about how he's a stand-up comedian. And then he couldn't hold his own with me, Tim, Juan, and John. Like, he wasn't funny.
That's right. Doyle wasn't around yet then.
Super rude. Like, he kept taking the mic from Tim. He'd just be like, oh, yoink, there you go.
So... Is this where I cut in?
This is where you come in, because this is...
So he is my old man pick. I owe him me being more outward on the show, because he pissed me off so much that episode that it just broke the shell for me. I came out and was like, no, motherfucker, I'm talking right now.
I visually remember watching Tim, because they had to share a mic, and the dude kept turning the mic away from Tim to interrupt Tim. And finally, Tim...
That's our job, fucker.
Literally just grabbed right. the mic and went, no. And then proceeded to give this dude such a fucking ration of shit that he didn't say... I don't think he said anything else for like the rest of the episode.
I almost want to go back and listen to that episode, though.
Man,
is, we need to highlight reel that shit.
It's got
to
be like... So we were like,
late 20s, early 30s as far as the
we
episodes are
like
gone.
20s or 30s, somewhere
you
in there.
Put a link in this episode.
But fuck.
Dude, it's going to take Juan like 6 hours to find
it. I know, that's why I said you got to do it.
And then I'll find it.
And then just,
find it.
And then just, he's brought so much joy to the show. We're talking shit about how terribly unfunny he was and how sad his life was.
He's amazing. His comedy has brought joy to millions of probably hundreds.
At least fives of people. Yes.
At least like two of his mom's friends, since apparently he still lives in the basement.
Oh, you're so handsome and funny.
You speak so well. Oh, it's the biggest insult to anyone.
It is wildly impossible to find that, I think.
You are a
good
talker.
Because they are not listed by people.
No, of course not. Only the actual hosts.
So, like, genuinely, we have to thank the comedian, because Tim has been an awesome part of the show. Just like...
Am I your old like man
Doyle,
pick?
Just Doyle randomly coming on the show has, like, really improved the show. And, like, just... The group of friends that we've surrounded ourselves with, when John comes on, it's awesome. When I know her name's Megan, but I want to call her like Monica or something like that.
Marsha.
No.
Literally anything with
yeah,
an M.
She's okay
yeah,
with that.
Yeah.
It's her husband that gets mad when you call him the wrong name.
Which what's his name?
What I put on there, Marsha and Jeremiah, I think is my
well,
episode
Jeremiah
title.
Is his real name.
Yeah, it's his real name. Should have called him Josh or Jeremy.
I think
or...
I put something.
Justin.
Jerome. That's Jimbo. What I call him. Marsha and Jerome.
Jill.
Jill. Start giving them women's names. Justine.
Marsha and Justine.
Mark and Justine. Just gender swap them.
Yeah, don't assume their gender, man.
I can't.
It's I guess, true. Yeah, it's I true. Guess Tim is my old man pick.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
Oh, face, neck, and chest, baby.
Wow, that's on Facebook. Oh. And that's disgusting.
And 30-day boot.
Boots all of us. Whoever won tags.
Oh, man.
I found the first homeless Avengers.
So you were you said
You're
we were
literally just going through the episodes while we talk.
Was there a topic you said you wanted to talk about here at the end? I can't remember.
Dude, I don't remember.
Was it the conversation?
I think that was the thing I wanted them to reference, because they said they were going to reference it later.
Yeah.
Or something.
I don't know.
It's good times, though. Like,
it's been fun.
This is a good show. I like doing it.
I mean, it's definitely not terrible.
Like, I'm not going to lie. There are very few things that I've done in my life for this period of, like, this length of time. It's like raise kids and be married. And other than that, I have not stuck it out for 5 years of fucking anything.
Dana's developing diabetes. Very few things.
Been working on
I'm still developing pre-diabetes.
Working on the betas for a long time. Just keep holding Dana out for it.
Loving the Mevo, guys. Always proud of you.
Oh, awesome. Aww. Thank you.
Is it a Mevo?
She did not answer our question, though.
Which one?
Which is worse, Dana and hate in a sentence, or Trump and hate in a sentence?
No, Trump and Dana.
Dana and say, Trump and hate. Yeah,
they just
like,
go together.
That's like Oreos and milk, baby. Right?
It's Trump's middle name.
Trump hate.
Donald hates Trump.
Oh, man. Do we have any leftover? I mean, it sounds like you're done with old man in 2 seconds. Do we have any leftover fucking topics?
Leftover giggities.
Leftover giggity.
Danny Coates has been getting death threats over his run in Venom. That's fun.
That's weird.
So what's the deal there?
Yeah.
I have no idea. I just saw the headline.
You just read the headline.
Huh? I don't read stuff enough or at all.
Well, because Venom has been like every role now. He's been a superhero. He's been a villain.
Oh, wasn't he in
He's been in between.
Wasn't he with the...
I feel like he was almost always an anti.
Wasn't he with Conan the Barbarian in the new
I was going to try
Avengers
really hard
or
to
whatever
not bring
bullshit.
That up.
Okay, so... taking Conan out of that, which he should have never been involved, it's a sweet mashup of other people.
Can we give a little bit about what the fuck
I'm not saying
about?
The book would be cool. I'm just saying to see those people fight something would be
so
cool.
So here's what I was really afraid Marvel was going to do. Okay? They were going to get Conan back as a property. They were going to put out like – they're putting out like 2 standalone Conan books plus like a series called Age of Conan that are like miniseries is about side characters. All of that's fine. I'm excited about all of that. But then they went and created a new Avengers team and they've randomly smashed Conan into it.
I mean, look at the team. It looks pretty fucking random.
It is very random. I want to see them fight something. Like I said, the book's not going to be
good. It's like Venom, Wolverine, Punisher.
Bye,
Conan,
Dana.
Bye, Dana. And something else. But like, don't do that. Fucking stop taking a property that you are talking actively about giving respect to.
Dude, Marvel milks
and then
the
just
teeth, bro.
Fucking deep dick it. Like, just fuck you, Marvel. Stop fucking ruining shit that's good. Like, God,
I agree with you.
God damn it, that makes me mad.
Like, I'm a big, big X-Men fan, and they just will not
stop making 50 X-Men books.
I get them all because I want to know, but like it's like right now it's weaving in and out of I'll get enjoyment out of like 1 in 10, but I gotta know the story because eventually it's gonna get back to what I like. So they need to
stop.
Has it come out yet?
It's about to come out,
so we don't even know if it's good or not.
No.
It's not gonna be good.
I don't know
almost
that.
Nothing that they're doing is great.
Also, Mike Murray, no. The best characters aren't in the Avengers, and the Avengers are not made of the best characters. That is not a funny joke. I don't care what anybody says. It's terrible.
Yeah, the Avengers might be a little...
Why don't we rant about this when the fucking book actually comes out?
Oh, I will rant about this when the book comes out.
Oh, I guarantee you.
I wouldn't know how they picked up Conan.
This guy over here will.
Like, where did Conan come from?
Oh, Jason said it's a couple months out still. It's not that close.
Good.
Let's
hope it takes forever to tell me.
Until then.
It may be the cool. You may be here in 2 months being like, I'm so happy he was fucking included in the Avengers. Fucking chopping people's heads off and it's fucking amazing.
Very possible.
What if the opening scene is him just like lopping Captain America's head off?
They would never do that.
But the only downside is that he's got the symbiote on him. Conan with a symbiote.
Dude, please don't put
so
that
the
on
symbiote
him.
Like, this is the only viable way I can see how they got to a Conan. Because he's not even in the same fucking...
He's not even in the same world! Like,
like
I don't...
how did they get him?
How are they going to explain that away?
Are we really talking about how isms when fucking Venom's a fake symbiote? Come on.
Whoa.
Come on.
How dare you?
I'm just saying. Like,
that comic
like,
books are not real.
Let's just wait until
the
book comes out.
No.
Maybe it's going to be amazing.
Things can be as crazy as they are inside their own universe because it dictates their own law. It's their universe. when you break your own fucking rules, it gets weird.
But we don't know what they've broken because we don't know the story yet.
Something's broken.
Something's broken.
When Conan's marching down Fifth Avenue, it's going to be weird. Hey, and they're not just going to arrest him instantly. Like, hey, bro, put some clothes on and get rid of the sharp weapons. You're not allowed to enter Hot Topic.
They're not.
Like
they're not Comic-Con security.
I am interested to see what the interactions between Conan and the Punisher are like, though.
Just imagine Conan walking down Fifth, like, where the fuck is Jason David Frank?
Why don't they have what-ifs like that? Where, like, Conan randomly transported to Comic-Con. Doesn't know what the fuck's going on. Just murdering everybody.
All these people in cosplays like, Demon!
What if Conan went to San Diego Comic-Con? I would read the shit.
Fuck, that would be amazing.
Just standing on top of, like, a fake Optimus Prime and a fake thing.
Blood coming out of robots, and he's very confused.
It's like, what is this machine, devil?
I don't know.
I feel like you guys would still complain.
No, I'd like that book.
No, I would like that book. What ifs? I love the what ifs. What if Conan were in the modern world?
Tina came back and she said, wait, why Conan and the Punisher? Why?
See?
Oh, Jason says he thinks it would have been better as a what if concept.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I
absolutely.
Thought.
That's what I think.
If they had a what if Conan was a part of the Avengers for one comic, fine.
Not an ongoing.
Or just bring back What If and give him, like, I don't know.
Well,
if
that's a cool idea.
They as badass as Conan is, Punisher probably wins that fight 99 times out of 99.
Because guns.
Yeah. Pew-pew, dead Conan.
See, that's why we interact.
Unless he blocks the bullets with his giant sword.
His giant pecs.
Yeah. He's like a mad.
Sorry, when I do it, it's just giant titties. So.
He's like American Gladiator when the little tennis balls bounce off him.
Oh, man, I miss that show.
Dana said, what would Conan do? WWCD.
You know, what would Conan do? Well, I mean... Well,
murder.
Yeah, murder.
Murder stuff.
Murder and pillage her.
Blood and tits.
I don't know how into this she is.
Blood and tits.
You don't know what?
I said, I don't know how into this she is.
Dana's awesome. We love Dana.
Yeah, okay. Dana will pretty much allow us to say everything except for hate and Dana in a sentence.
Crom cares not.
So stupid.
Stupid.
Fuck Conan. I mean, what would Conan? He has a very small list of things.
Yeah, it's basically
crush his enemies and
see them driven before you and watch Lamentations of Their Women.
That's all Conan does.
And then eat and drink.
Yeah.
Oh, and Horin.
He's also really good at walking in circles, like the best.
Punching camels in the face.
Punching camels in the face.
He's pretty good at eating vultures while crucified.
Yeah.
He does a killer Arnold Schwarzenegger impression, too.
It's weird. It's weird how good he is at that. Arnold Schwarzenegger's not in his universe.
Been promoing the comic? Yeah. I thought that was really cool.
He wants to do Conan the Conqueror.
The
movie, but
yeah.
There's a variant cover with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Fucking $30.
$30.
And the version copy of that is like 100 and something.
Yeah.
Without the tag title and everything.
You know what? When you want stuff like that, you just don't look at how much it costs. You tell John to get it for you. And then
that's
you're surprised when you get there. But it's okay.
Yeah, but you have to special order it from his site, so. And also, surprise special order, you don't have to talk to somebody about it afterwards. Why the fuck was your comic bill $500 this month? Huh?
What do you mean?
It was an accident.
I didn't mean to. Sorry.
Yeah. Fucking Marvel.
Yeah. Fuck Marvel. Fucking Marvel. Making me spend too much money. All right. Do we wrap up the show? Is that what's happening?
Is that what we're doing?
I was trying to keep it going because I thought John was going to call us back, but.
Doesn't sound like
it's no good. Love.
That's all right. He was here for 30 minutes.
And
that's
he did.
Time.
And he talked about some really awesome stuff today.
Definitely dumped some knowledge on us.
Yeah, he dropped a bomb. That was good.
What are
shit.
We in? We're in February, about to be in March. It's almost fucking Comic-Con season.
Almost. We're getting
almost.
There.
2 months.
I'll have my announcements out shortly.
Nice.
Me too.
Pre-announcements. Where are you going?
Pre-announcements. Baltimore again, Denver, Springs, Vegas.
Ooh.
And possibly Dink. Possibly.
When is Vegas?
Vegas is June.
I'd like to go to Vegas.
Let me get back to you there, bud.
You should see
Colorado Springs changed
shouldn't take me
a little
more than
bit
a
of their. Now they have standards on like how
much now they have standards.
They have standards on how much of a like a social media presence you have to have.
Yeah,
and so
June,
who fucking knows what's going on there? But
do we have enough?
Yeah, we do. Oh, okay. We do. But it's oddly different to me, and that is usually a bad sign in my head.
Right.
And so I'm always like, well, fuck, we got to wait until
we have to
July. We have to wait until July or August to see if we get those passes, and I got a really weird feeling about it. You know, let's look at something else. But then if you get it, then you're like, oh, fuck, I screwed myself.
Is it really that great of a con?
It was pretty cool last year. So it was different. It was very different.
It's different. It's close, which is nice.
The closeness is nice.
Doesn't cost any money.
We enjoy the people that we meet, and we enjoy like some of the information that we get, but we also have very little access to anybody. So it makes it weird.
It's hard because we generally, as far as like traveling and doing stuff, it's me and Gabe.
Yeah.
And not Colorado Springs, Comic-Con International, San Diego Comic-Con, gave us 4 tickets to go to WonderCon, which would be fucking amazing, but I'm stretched so thin throughout the whole year, whether it's out my own vacations or whatever, it's hard to pick up another one that's in Los Angeles. And so I would like to go to New York Comic Con because I hear they're super, super good with their press people. Like they do really well with getting them interviews and doing those kinds of things. But it's hard because I can commit to doing something, but then I need somebody else to come, you know?
Yeah.
Well, you should apply for Vegas if he's going to be there, and you should apply for New York if you want to go.
Well, he can't leave his table to do
no, press I know, stuff. But like at least you have somebody there. And to drop your backpack off with or something like that.
The Vegas show, the whatever their company is, I guess Amazing Comic Conventions is the company, but they only do 2 shows, Hawaii and Vegas. So
let's go to Hawaii.
Hopefully they should be a little more forthcoming with the press stuff. Like
Vegas just seems super easy. Like I could do Vegas real easily.
And it's not that far.
It's not.
Yeah.
No, it's just fucking, it's like a 14-hour drive or a, I don't know, 2-minute plane trip. I don't know.
However planes work. I don't know.
We'll be driving, I assume. Yeah.
Or biking.
You got to get on that My Vegas shit, Gabe, so that you can get the discounts on the hotels.
I just haven't been on anything for a while on my phone. So
he's been.
Oh, I thought you were like
besides porn.
Absent.
Biking to Vegas.
I'm no,
like, we cannot get there, Gabe. We will die, Gabe.
Maybe it's a motorbike. You don't know.
Even then,
I just imagine the two of you like Dumb and Dumber on the moped.
I gotta pee.
Gabe's not
just go,
on the moped.
Man.
Come on.
You had 2 pairs of gloves the whole time. Yeah, it's freezing.
God, that movie sucks.
But hopefully,
that'll be my PCC when my time comes.
Oh God.
For us though, hopefully Denver Comic Con and for sure. San Diego Comic Con, that's already on the docket, so
nice.
I'm excited. Anyway, I haven't heard about any other press passes yet, so we'll see. It's weird.
It is.
June, I could commit to the Vegas one, though.
We should try for it. Might as well.
I can send you... I can send you the link to the website.
Don't tell me what to do, Tim. Son of a bitch.
Hold sit on, there.
It's in June?
Sit
it's
down. June. Talk to him into a microphone.
Yeah, he can't commit.
All right. No, it's going to be hot.
Oh, yeah, it is. Will be hot.
Give a fuck about that. There's air conditioning everywhere there.
There is. And they actually encourage your ass to stay inside.
Yeah, they want you to stay inside.
Oh, just quick heads up.
They want that money.
We go to Vegas. I'm getting fucked up.
Oh, yeah. Nope. He can't go to Vegas with us. Nope.
Weird.
People all trashed.
Nope.
Hey, you fucking comics.
Never mind.
No, I mean...
You're right.
Hey, Robert Kirkman, kiss my ass.
At nighttime when we're not interviewing people.
Cool. Well, you want to take us out?
Yeah, with that said, you can find us on all the different
social
media.
You want to take
medias.
Us out of there first?
All right, first, Facebook, thank you very much
for watching. Pull us out, Gabe.
If you're watching this right now, you know how to find us on Facebook, which means you know how to find us on all
unless you stumbled
medias.
Across this randomly.
But they would do it on Facebook. Ah, oh, fuck off. Anyway, have a good day, guys. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Congratulations on being on a computer.
All right, cool.
All right, with that said, you can find us on all the different social medias, facebook.com/thinkingoutsidethelongbox, Twitter or Instagram @outsidelongbox. You can...
giving a speech.
kiss.
So weird.
I do not have this memorized.
You can find us on YouTube at tinyurl.com/TOTLBTube. And of course, you can find our main website, www.TOTLB. If you are working on a project or say you're a random actor that happens to be in one of our pop culture classics that we've just, you know,
Maniac Cop
looking at you. Feel free to shoot us an email. We would love to hear from you. We love interviewing people from all facets of pop culture. You can do that at outsidethelongbox@gmail.com. If you have any opinions about our show or what a racist prick Doyle is, you can, of course, call the Michael Kirk Memorial Hotline. May he rest in peace, 970-573-6148. If you want to support us, you can go to patreon.com/TOTLB to get stuff and things and do things and watch stuff. And you can go to TOTLB.com.
That was super declarative.
Oh, yeah. Yes. You can go to TOTLB.com/shop to buy stuff and things and things and stuff.
More things and, than stuff, though.
Yeah.
We're ever shortage of stuff. We've got plenty of things.
TOTLB.com, which I still haven't figured out and is a pain in my ass.
Come on, Gabe.
I reached out to the web guy and you put us in the group chat and I responded and he never said anything back to me. So I don't know. We'll figure it out.
I'll do that right
now. Figure it out.
Gabe. I regulate every shade of that ass.
I have no idea what you just said. I'm going to ignore it. Of course,
call
we want to thank...
Call me a racist. I quoted Biggie.
You're a racist.
Not a racist.
You're a prick. Anyways, want to thank our Patreon supporters, Chad, Ryan, Derek, Doyle the racist prick, Devin, Taylor, Jason, Steve, Christine, Michael, and of course, Marsha, Monica,
I've literally
Megan.
Fed this asshole's family on many occasions.
I know.
Matt and Justine,
thank you so much for your support.
Justine.
If you're the comedian and you're still listening, go fuck yourself.
Wow.
With that said, I'm Gabe.
I'm Tim.
I'm Doyle.
I'm Juan.
And this has been another fantabulous episode of Thinking Outside the Long Box.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast. Join us on Facebook and Twitter to get behind-the-scenes information for exclusive content and to be notified when new episodes are available. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual and do not necessarily represent or reflect those of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast, Barron Space Productions, its partners, or affiliates. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is made available by its creators, Juan, John, and Gabe. The podcast is edited and produced by Juan, and Albie is the co-executive producer. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is a Barron Space production.